a just war. Might as well have been invaded by Martians and body snatchers. He's speaking to the Bush administration. He says, sometimes I wish it had been.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It's been taken over by the sleaziest, low-comedy, Keystone Cop-style coup d'etat imaginable. Kurt Vonnegut.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The House is expected to vote on the compromise version of the war funding bill with strings attached in the next few hours. It is the bill they already know the president will veto. Live now to Capitol Hill, CBS's Tom Foti.
Well, Harley, the president has certainly said that enough, so the message seems clear, but House Democrats publicly say they're not convinced and have a message of their own on Iraq. Maryland Steny Hoyer is their majority leader.
If the president vetoes this legislation, he will not only be vetoing full funding for our troops, but ignoring, in my opinion, the will of the American people.
The formal debate has not started yet, but Hoyer expects the House to pass the bill sometime tonight. Then it goes over to the Senate. Live on Capitol Hill, Tom Foti, CBS News.
There are federal charges against a man who called himself the bishop, who the Justice Department says tried to manipulate the stock market through fear.
Law enforcement authorities have arrested John Tompkins of Dubuque, and they have charged him in connection with a case known as the bishop. Over the past 18 months to 2 years, there have been 16 letters and two nearly completed pipe bombs mailed to financial firms around the country, with warning letters that the firm should manipulate stock prices, in essence make these two companies' stock prices go up, or they would pay a price.
CBS's Bob Orr there. Big day on Wall Street today to trade and then to close nearly 90 points above 13,000, first time above that threshold. And investors blew through it like it was, well, just another number. The bulls' rally is remarkable, just 6 months from 12,000 to 13,000. Marilyn Cohen at Envision Capital Management.
I think it's got legs. There's no question about it that the momentum is really strong.
The Dow closed up 136 points today, 13,090. The NASDAQ gained 23. Oil was higher, 65.84, up $1.26. The nasty weather system that spawned tornadoes that killed 10 people in Texas and Mexico along the border is now raging through Louisiana. Back in Eagle Pass, Texas, people pick up the pieces.
The good thing is that we're alive. That's what matters.
The state of California is planning to sue the EPA, claiming the government has moved too slowly on California's request to regulate auto emissions independently.
Californians are very concerned about the environment. We've asked the federal government to give us the authority to regulate greenhouse gases here in California, and they've not done that yet.
Aaron McLear at Governor Schwarzenegger's office says they expect an answer to their request by the end of October or else. Back in 1997, bookmakers figured Alec Holden's odds of making it to age 100 at about 250 to 1. He said, "I'll take that bet," and plunked down 100 pounds. Well, he's 100 now, and he has collected £25,000 there in England, about $50,000. His secret, by the way, he says, eat porridge, play chess, and keep breathing. That's important, he explains. If you stop breathing, you're in real trouble. This is CBS News.
Running out of ink? Office Depot has over 500 ink and toner products in stock at unbelievable prices. And you can save even more when you buy Office Depot brand versus national brands. Plus, our WorkLife Rewards members earn 10% back on Office Depot brand ink and toner purchases. Don't risk running out of ink and setting your business back. Let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Farmers Insurance brings you this important message about the coming storm season. As you know, the best defense... That's why our agents are among the best in the business. It's not just... So be prepared this coming storm season. Call 1-800-FARMERS for an agent near you. That way, you'll be as prepared as...
The The day may come when there is no junk food for school kids to buy in public schools.
Snacks recommended for any student any school day include fruits and veggies, granola bars, non-fat yogurt. After the final bell, high schoolers could also eat low-fat, low-sugar crackers, pretzels, and ice cream. Thirsty?
We do not recommend diet drinks or sports drinks or light juices during the school day.
Panel member Mary Story.
Our guidelines recommend only three beverages: plain water, low-fat, non-fat milk, 100% fruit juice.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
It isn't that the University of Michigan is so easy. It is that 19-year-old Nicole Matisse is so smart. By the time she graduated high school, she had done extra coursework on the side and immediately became a junior at Michigan. 1 year later now, she collects her bachelor's in psychology. Commencement is in June. Next step, law school. That ought to take a few months at least. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From April 26th to the 30th, save 25% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save 15% on Duration Home and Duration Exterior Coatings. And save 25% on select wall coverings, too. So hurry in. Sale ends Monday, April 30th for painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
The Joneses like things fast. They use Zantac. It's fast, like last night after dinner.
Heartburn? Painful.
Zantac. Thank you.
And then later.
Better? Completely. Zantac's fast.
The Joneses know Zantac quickly relieves the toughest heartburn. And more, like before the Joneses family barbecue.
Ribs?
Heartburn.
Zantac.
First?
Prevents.
Amazing.
Zantac's fast.
Zantac before a meal prevents heartburn. Zantac after a meal quickly stops heartburn. Maximum strength Zantac. It's
fast.
Uses directed, controls heartburn in 30 to 60 minutes.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And if I were in charge of Peter B.'s America, I would decree that we shall know the truth of 9/11/01, and it shall set us free. Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, devoted entirely to seeking the truth about 9/11, the events that occurred, the mythology that we've been fed, and the facts that simply do not fit the official government story. My guest this hour, Professor David Ray Griffin. David Ray Griffin's been on our program before. He is a professor emeritus of philosophy of religion and theology at Claremont School of Theology in Southern California, where he is co-director of the Center for Process Studies. He's published over 30 books in his career, including now five titles related to seeking the truth of 9/11. The newest book is Debunking 9/11 Debunking, subtitle An Answer to Popular Mechanics and Other Defenders of the Official Conspiracy Theory. David Ray Griffin, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. It's good to be back with you again.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, Professor, and you've been busy.
I have.
Did you ever expect that you would still be writing about 9/11 and publishing another book in 2007?
Well, you know, the thought never occurred to me at the time. I just thought, you know, I would write a book. And, of course, we all assume that we will write a book, and that'll settle matters. But then, of course, the 9/11 Commission report appeared shortly after my book appeared, and they simply ignored everything in the book or distorted a few things, so I wrote a second book. Then it occurred to me that we really needed to get the churches involved, so I wrote a book on the Christian faith and the truth behind 9/11. Then it occurred to me that, you know, they were trashing us, saying you're just a bunch of nuts on the Internet. And so I co-edited with Peter Scott this 9/11 American Empire intellectual speak out to show that it really is an intellectual-run movement now. And then this last summer, in August, these four major reports came out, no longer ignoring our movement, but deliberately, explicitly trying to debunk our theories. And so that's what this book is about, is debunking those debunkings.
And it's amusing on a certain level. It certainly is. And I've read most of the book, and you maintain, I think, a sense of balance, a sense of modesty and humor. You sometimes respond to your critics with a jibe in turn. And
I did cut loose a little more in this book. In previous ones where I had made smart remarks, somebody, my wife or my editor, encouraged me to chop it out, but this time I left a few more of them in. So mm-hmm. I think the book might be a little more entertaining than the others, even though it is bigger.
Yeah, and it's about some very dark and difficult, complex subjects that I know people have a hard time with. Let me start with one of those little jibes that I picked up on. It was a reference to your own faith and spirituality and this chemistry or dynamic between taking on faith what our government has told us, what occurred on 9/11, and having faith in your own judgment and your own sense of skepticism. And I guess some people think it's ironic or unusual that a theology professor is one of the leading thinkers in the 9/11 truth movement.
It does strike people odd at first, I think. And, you know, this Terry Allen, who writes for In These Times, explained my holding these views because I'm a theologian. She says, well, I guess he just takes things on faith. And then she turns around and takes on faith the 9/11 Commission report, which was authored, of course, by White House insider Philip Zelikow, mm-hmm. the NIST report, which was put out by Bush's Commerce Department, and it didn't occur to her that she was taking all that stuff on faith. She claims she checked out the facts for herself, but when you read her stuff, you see she didn't.
Yeah. You also responded quite forcefully to Matthew Rothschild, who is the editor of The Progressive. He wrote a piece that really attacked the 9/11 movement and belittled us for seeking the truth. We spent an hour with him, and between me and the callers, we gave him a good run for his money. In your book, you do take on most of the issues he raised in his article, but I noticed that you didn't pick up or respond to an item that he had put in there as a Jewish American, that he felt that Larry Silverstein had been unfairly targeted primarily because of his faith and culture. And a number of my listeners, including Jewish listeners, took that in a very critical way and felt insulted by it. You chose not to pick that up in your book. Was that kind of an act of Christian charity?
I thought that was such a low blow. I mean, he was really reaching on that point because, you know, if there's anything I've been criticized for by some fellow members of the 9/11 Truth Movement, it's because I have not blamed 9/11 on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these criticisms come every so often. And so, you know, the very fact that I just mentioned that this Silverstein comment and the fact he's making some money off of this, Rothschild really reached to say that Griffin should have just said, well, the Jew did it.
Yeah.
You know, that was just off the wall, but so I didn't think I should bother to respond to that.
Well, I just wanted you to know it was noted by this observer.
Yeah.
There's so many different angles that I want to take here, and in the first segment, I just want to kind of go through a couple of disparate items, and then I want to focus kind of scene by scene as you debunk the debunkers, the NIST report, the Popular Mechanics, and some of the other critics out there, including Alexander Coburn and The Nation magazine, and they deserve the criticism you've offered. First, I wanted to ask you about this remarkable video that surfaced a couple of months ago, which, if it is what we see on face value, is a real-time recording of the BBC's coverage of the events of 9/11. And the segment that surfaced that I viewed three times very carefully, and I've doctored some videos in my time, Dr. Griffin, and I didn't find any indication that this video had been doctored. And it shows that the BBC is reporting the collapse of Building 7 23 minutes before the event occurred. And in one scene, about 7 minutes before the event occurred, a BBC reporter in New York is doing what's called a stand-up. And the camera is on her, and behind her and over her shoulder is Building 7, as she says that Building 7 has collapsed, and proceeds to offer some of the theories for its collapse that surfaced from official sources afterward.
This video came out just as I was finishing up the book, you know, doing the index. It was literally the last couple days. And I went back and forth on whether to include it or not, and finally decided against it, whereas I did include a response to the BBC show called the Conspiracy Files 9/11, which, of course, it was just an atrocious show put out by the BBC. Just shows that the quality control has slipped there. In any case, the reason I didn't put it in was because it seemed to me at least possible that here's what happened. As we know, rumors started going around about noon that the building was going to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, incidentally, it was Giuliani's people who started the rumor, started telling people this. And just as it was, Giuliani's people, and by that I mean the Office of Emergency Management, who had predicted, most strangely, that the Twin Towers were going to collapse. Giuliani himself revealed that on Peter Jennings. And so I dealt with that. And anyway, it occurred to me that what maybe happened was that rumor, got changed, as rumors sometimes do, from Building 7 is going to collapse to Building 7 has collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know that that's true, and I certainly find the video very suspicious, but I try to limit the stuff I put in my books to stuff that seems really, really solid.
Mm-hmm.
And this just didn't quite pass the bar because of that possible interpretation.
I understand. I described it, I think, carefully that, to my knowledge, it appears to be an accurate and undoctored tape.
Well, yeah, they didn't challenge the accuracy of the tape.
And there's some time markers on it that show that it's 5 o'clock New York time, just 3 minutes after they have first reported that Building 7 has come down.
That's right. There seems to be no question about that. They don't challenge its authenticity,
mm-hmm.
but it's just possible that it was based on a rumor getting changed.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Dr. David Ray Griffin. The new book is Debunking 9/11, Debunking, an Answer to Popular Mechanics and the Other Critics. And we've got a lot to talk about over the course of this hour. If you'd like to join us, why don't you wait a segment and then pick up the phone and call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I interview great guests, including national, regional, and local personalities that make our planet so delicious. And I want your feedback. It's simple. Go to www.tastyplanet.org, complete the survey, fill out a form, and you'll be automatically entered to win. That's all there is to it, and your info is safe with me. I won't use it for anything but this contest. So listen in on Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m., and as Julia Child used to say, bon appetit!
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Guest Dr. David Ray Griffin, Debunking 9/11 Debunking, is his newest book.
On the world watched in horror. Two hijacked planes destroyed our trade center.
Well, maybe, Yoko.
We better believe it. We better deal with it. It's time to keep this a chance.
I'll go along with the last part there, Yoko. That's Yoko Ono. She did an update of Give Peace a Chance in 2004 and reflecting the common notion, said that two airplanes hit the buildings and then they came down. We're seeking the truth about 9/11, and it certainly runs deeper than that. David Ray Griffin's new book, Debunking 9/11 Debunking, answers popular mechanics. The NIST report, that's the government agency that published a report of their investigation. He also returns to challenges to the work of the 9/11 Commission and some other folks who have offered critiques of those of us who continue to seek the truth about 9/11. Dr. Griffin, I think it's always worthwhile to spend a moment talking about conspiracy theories and that you are challenging the official conspiracy theory.
That's right. It's really remarkable, and I show in some detail how this propagandist use of conspiracy theory is just used repeatedly to put our view on the defensive and just presuppose that the official view is correct because it's not a conspiracy theory. But of course it is. A conspiracy is just when two or more people conspire in secret to do something illegal. And the only issue about 9/11 is who were the conspirators.
Mm-hmm.
And so since they're both equally conspiracy theorists, you know, and so, you know, I cite people in there who say, well, I was just shocked to find Griffin, this sober theologian, had become a conspiracy theorist. Well, of course, I hadn't. I had just shifted from one conspiracy theory when the first year and a half I accepted the official conspiracy theory. And yet nobody thinks that's strange. They never said, well, you know, why were you a conspiracy theorist? Because they are, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that one-sided use. So I hope my book will do something to at least make people a little embarrassed about using the term in that one-sided way.
Yeah, I'm so tired of the dismissive and smarmy approaches to any coverage of the issues raised from people who clearly have no more proof than we do. One of the other stipulations I think is important to this discussion is that those of us who challenge the official story do not have to prove what actually happened in every detail in order to establish that the official story is not true.
That's right. We don't need our own theory. We just need to show that the official theory doesn't stand up to the empirical fact.
Mm-hmm.
And in my second chapter there, I take this on directly, and I show that Kane and Hamilton, the chair and vice chair of the 9/11 Commission,
right,
in their new book, Without Precedent, lay out what they consider the main criteria of what they mean by a conspiracy theory in the derogatory sense. And it has five characteristics. You start with your conclusion rather than with facts. You continue to adhere to theories that have been disproved by facts. You ignore facts that contradict your theory. You uncritically accept any dubious evidence, no matter how dubious, if it supports your theory. And then you have a disdain for debate. All five of those are characteristics of their theory and absolutely not characteristics of the 9/11 truth movement, which has been highly empirical.
Mm-hmm. One of the key indicators of the inaccuracies and in some cases falsehoods that have been fed to the American people are various timelines that have been constructed. And these timelines really help us understand where mistakes may have been made in people's recollections or compiling of reports, or where intentional prevarication may have occurred. And time again, if you'll pardon that pun, timelines are what underscore that what we've been told doesn't add up to the truth.
That's right. My first chapter deals with that in the most detail. And I think my first chapter is probably the part that people who are already familiar with most of the evidence will find the most new material, because there I was fortunate enough to get in email contact with two air traffic controllers at the Boston Center of the FAA, one who is currently still a controller and one who had previously been a controller, Robin Horden. And they supplied an enormous amount of material that I at least didn't know before that shows even more thoroughly than we knew before how flawed, how problematic the official timeline is, and how we can be virtually certain that these tapes that the 9/11 Commission used, these NORAD tapes, that were then used in Bronner's Vanity Fair article.
Right, and we played some of those. Vanity Fair put them up on the website. It was very interesting to listen to them.
Yeah, but you realize you got little tiny snippets, and there were 30 hours there. And so I show, I think, in quite good detail
yes,
that that these tapes has to have been doctored.
And detailed is an indictment that would be sustained against David Ray Griffin. This is a very detailed book. It's a fascinating read. Debunking, 9/11 debunking. As we pick up in the next segment, we'll talk more about Michael Bronner's work at Vanity Fair and also consider the work of NIST and Popular Mechanics. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. David Ray Griffin.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Todd the Taxi Driver, and I'd like to congratulate the citizens of Marina. It seems as if their emails and phone calls have made the difference. According to yesterday's Monterey County Herald, Mayor Ila Mateen McCutcheon now believes that the actions of Councilman Mike Morrison deserves a full public review. The mayor publicly stated that she and the other city council members had been inundated by numerous emails and phone calls from concerned citizens of Marina. She further stated that the consensus of the council was, if we do nothing, we seem as if we're complicit in this whole affair. Judging from responses given by Councilman Morrison himself, I believe he also got the message. One would anticipate a resignation soon. But if he doesn't resign, the citizens of Marina should show up in force at Tuesday night's city council meeting. When citizens speak, mayors listen. And when you participate, democracy works. This has been Todd the Taxi Driver.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching each show. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Hey,
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Dr. David Ray Griffin. His first book, you may recall, The New Pearl Harbor, raised important questions about the official narrative of 9/11 events in this country. And his newest book takes on those who have attempted to debunk the thinking of the 9/11 truth movement. It's called Debunking, 9/11 Debunking, subtitled An Answer to Popular Mechanics and Other Defenders of the Official Conspiracy Theories. We'll take some calls in a few minutes. If you want to grab a line, 888-5. Peter B. is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372 puts you through. Dr. Griffin, let me just start with Building 7. We talked a little bit earlier about the BBC report. And as an entry point for people who are new to the truth-seeking about 9/11, this appears to be the most obvious example of a plane that was not touched by an airplane, hijacked or otherwise, a building that collapsed in the afternoon at free fall speeds, like the earlier collapse of World Trade Center Towers 1 and 2. Those of us on this side who believe that the 9/11 story doesn't hold up have to have deep suspicions that the building was brought down by a controlled demolition. What new information have you found? And let's take a moment here to permit you to challenge the debunking that came from Popular Mechanics and NIST relative to Building 7.
Well, their big claim now is that there's no problem here because even though it wasn't hit by a plane, enough debris came from the North Tower while it was collapsing to scoop out part of the south face of the building, and that was the equivalent from their point of view of being hit by an airplane. Well, one problem here is if you scoop out one side of the building, and if that caused it to fall, it should have toppled over. And yet the building comes down, straight down, in a perfect symmetrical way. And the only way that can happen is if all 87 of the columns fall apart or somehow are sliced or buckle simultaneously. And the idea that fire in on a few of the floors could have caused all the it's just so ridiculous, it's almost embarrassing to talk about it. Mm-hmm. To say that on all, you know, on many of the floors simultaneously all the steel columns failed simultaneously is just beyond belief. But that's the level of desperation they have. And another factor about this building is just looking at it and the video, there's good reason that many Americans don't even know the building has collapsed because they have very carefully kept videos of it off TV after that very first night.
It's rarely referenced in the coverage.
Yeah, when Dan Rather said, boy, that looks just like these buildings we've seen brought down by controlled demolition, it was never allowed on the air again. Now, this interesting thing, this Dutch demolition expert that one can watch on YouTube, Danny, I don't know how to pronounce it. In English, it would be Joe Winkle, starts with a J.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shown, he hadn't heard, even though he's a demolition expert, has his own company, he hadn't heard that Building 7 had collapsed too. And so some people showed him this building coming down, and he said, well, you know, that's a case of controlled demolition. And then they tell him what building it is, and he says, no, impossible, that couldn't be. Finally, they convince him, and he says, well, okay, then those boys were very busy that day. So, you know, it's obvious to anybody who's an expert, and now we have, you know, these Popular Mechanics and NIST like to pretend like all the experts are on their side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more and more and more technical experts are joining the movement. So now you have pilots for 9/11 Truth. You have scholars for 9/11 Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice. You have an increasing number of intelligence experts and military experts and so on. And then in Switzerland, there are two people at the most prestigious institute in Switzerland, two engineering professors, structural engineering professors, who've both said there's no doubt about it that Building 7 was brought down by explosives.
And so if we accept that as at least a possible notion, and I believe that's what happened, but if we accept it as a possible notion, then we have to apply the same thinking and the same skepticism to the stories we've heard, including the NIST report about the pancake effect that they claim brought down the two towers, one and two.
Yeah, they're kind of confused about whether they hold the pancake theory or not. In some places they say, well, we reject the pancake theory. In other places they endorse it.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, one should a priori have even more skepticism about the official theory given history, because science is based on precedents. And Stephen Jones stresses this over and over and over, the scientific method.
And Jones is the physics professor at BYU.
Yeah, formerly at BYU, who was forced out.
That's true, yeah.
And he points out that, you can't just, you don't have a scientific explanation if you just theorize and say, well, it's possible it might have happened this way. You've got to show, either by experiment or by historical precedent, that this sort of thing could happen.
And it has to be repeatable for, a real scientific conclusion, right?
That's right. And, we have two different kinds of sciences. There are the historical sciences and the empirical repeatable sciences. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about physics, engineering, these kinds of things, you've got to have repeatability. And so if they're going to make this kind of claim that here we had this kind of process that initiated a total collapse of a steel frame building, it's got to somehow be repeatable. So one thing, as Stephen and others have pointed out, I had suggested, we could take some old building that we wanted to demolish anyway, fly an airplane into it, get a big fire started, duplicate the Twin Towers as much as you can, and see if you can get this building to come down.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stephen and others have pointed out, the other way is build a model. You can build a model of these buildings and simulate the conditions. And so it wouldn't have to cost millions of dollars. You could do it mm-hmm. for maybe $100,000 and test this out. But, of course, nobody's interested in doing that, and yet we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on wars based on the assumption that the official theory is correct.
We're talking with Dr. David Ray Griffin here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to talk for a moment about Michael Bronner, the Vanity Fair piece. It was based on excerpted recordings from NORAD and FAA sources that were filtered through the 9/11 Commission, and then that's where Michael Bronner acquired them.
No, the military gave them to him directly.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's very interesting, and this ought to make people a little suspicious that here's a guy, he was an associate producer for the movie United 93, which just repeated the story of the 9/11 Commission on that flight, which, said that the order to shoot down wasn't even given until 15 minutes after the plane had crashed, even though Richard Clark, who was the terrorist czar at the time, it tells us in his book that he had gotten the shoot-down order from Cheney about 15 minutes before the plane collapsed. And yet Bronner, they tell this story. So it's probably no coincidence that the military chose him as a very safe person to give their tapes to.
And I acknowledged earlier that I've doctored some videotapes over the years. I've doctored more audio tapes, and with digital audio processing, it's very conceivable that you could take excerpts from the tapes and you could move parts around to shift the timeline. You could even shift the time markers that are embedded on these kind of archive recordings that provided the audio outtakes that we have heard. So I have to say that your book very carefully takes them apart and shows the inconsistencies. And as I read that, I thought, well, somebody spent hundreds of hours in an audio lab with a couple of PCs, and they were able to basically recreate the story along the lines of the official version, although there are clearly some anomalies that remain.
That's right. So I do two things. I do quote Robin Horton, who, when he was at Boston Center, this is what he did. So he knows the technology and says this is very easy to make these changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, I show enough discrepancy between empirical fact that's verified in other ways and what these tapes say that I think you can't read this chapter without concluding these tapes have been doctored.
And also on a technical angle, you make the case in many places in the book that the argument that passengers use their cell phones to call loved ones on the ground simply cannot be true. Because if these planes were at altitudes as they were described at the time, the technology of the average cell phone at that stage simply could not complete a call and hold it from 30,000 feet.
That's right, and certainly not at 40,000 feet where United 93 was while passengers were allegedly making their calls. And so here is another place where the 9/11 truth movement that's been empirical, because this Guy Dudeney, who's a Canadian scientist who wrote a column for Scientific American for many, many years, so he's very well known and respected. He took little planes up and checked his cell phones,
mm-hmm.
and found that even in a small plane, single engine or double engine, you couldn't make a call above 7,000 or 8,000 feet.
And specifically, Dr. Griffin, many people look at Barbara Olson, a well-known Republican. She'd been on TV, married to the Solicitor General, and she allegedly made a cell phone call. And when it was shown that that couldn't have possibly occurred, they shifted to an airphone, one of those things in the back of the seat in front of you. And you did the research that showed that the 767s didn't have airphones on them.
Yeah, I didn't do the research. It was Ian Henschel and Roland Morgan who did this, but they shared it with me. They had mentioned it in the books, but they didn't quote all the emails. And so when you read the emails, it's very, very clear. And that United 757s did have seat back phones, so that Flight 93. They could have made seatback calls, airphone calls from that,
mm-hmm.
but the American Airlines, the ones that were built for American Airlines, did not have any. And furthermore, they clarified. They said, "Well, could there have been other phones on there that for the crew
right.
that Barbara might have borrowed?" They said there were absolutely no phones of that on the plane at all. The crew had other means of communication.
Right.
So Barbara Olson's call could not have been made from a cell phone. It could not have been made from an airphone. It could not have been made.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, we know the official story is false.
We're going to take a break and continue with Dr. David Ray Griffin. You've got to read the new book, Debunking, 9/11 Debunking, An Answer to Popular Mechanics and Other Defenders of the Official Conspiracy Theory. Some callers have been holding patiently, I hope. We'll get to you next, and you can join that conversation toll-free right now. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. Starting May 14th, The Ed Schultz Show moves to 9 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540. So join us for the best in talk radio, news, commentary, and your calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be on The Ed Schultz Show, 9 a.m. to noon, starting May 14th, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know,
Show weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes away from the hour. My guest, Dr. David Ray Griffin, a retired theologian and philosopher from Claremont University in Southern California. His newest book, Seeking the Truth About 9/11, is called Debunking 9/11 Debunking, an answer to popular mechanics and other defenders of the official conspiracy theory. It's out from Olive Branch Press, and I recommend it to anyone who really wants to find the truth. There's a lot more work to be done, but what David Ray Griffin has accomplished is really helping us understand the inconsistencies and the pure propaganda that has been fed to us from so many different sources in a concerted effort to really burn in the official mythology about 9/11/2001.
Yeah, this new development, Peter, is important because, you know, this book is not just more of the same if people think, well, they've read some of my other books.
No.
Because the new thing is here. Before, they were ignoring us, and we were just saying, you know, you can't deal with all these facts. And many people could say, well, you know, they don't respond to you because you're not worth responding to. They don't want to give you credibility. Of course, they could answer all your criticisms if they tried. But now they've tried. And now we can show they've tried and they failed, and they failed gloriously.
Indeed they have. Dave in the Pinnacles, thanks for holding on. You're on the air with Dr. David Ray Griffin.
Well, hi, Peter, and thanks a lot for coming on, Doc. I really appreciate all you've done. Hey, on that morning, I was sitting in front of my TV, and as soon as it happened, I said, you know, something's going on. That just couldn't happen. And then after I started reading a little bit about it, I was totally convinced. And what really got me was page 503 of the official report. The South Tower collapsed in 10 seconds. Now then, like you said, stated, Peter, a free fall is like a little under 10 seconds. So what I want to know is, how do they explain away the resistance? You know, you open up any grade school physics book or whatever, and it'll say right there, any resistance will slow a fall. Why did not the resistance of just scores and scores of stories not slow that fall?
Tons and tons of steel that could not have been affected by the fireball at the top of the building.
Exactly.
Yeah, we saw
a fireball outside of the building.
You're absolutely right to raise this, because this is a good candidate for the biggest problem faced by
NIST and the one it does the worst job with. It tries. Here's its claim that, you know, when the plane hit the building, carved out this hole, and then the top floors then fell down on the floors below the hole, and then that caused the rest of the building to collapse at free fall speed. Well, as you were alluding to, that violates one of the fundamental laws of physics, which
you can
is
find
the,
in a grade school book.
Yeah, yeah. We're just talking about basic Newtonian physics.
Yeah.
It's been with us for a long time. And all that steel, all that concrete, you can't, you know, no matter how big the top part was, and it wasn't very big relative to the rest of the building, no matter how big it had been, it could not crush through all that steel and concrete as if it weren't there, and yet that is what happened. It's like, I use an analogy, it's like a little sports car going along 60 miles an hour runs into a huge truck that stopped on the freeway and starts pushing the truck at 60 miles an hour.
Right.
Dr. Griffin, you also make the point that the official story has us believe that, you know, there was some resistance from the buildings, the Twin Towers, as the airplanes hit them. Yet the Pentagon, which had been heavily reinforced to withstand an attack by an airplane or a missile, you know, swallowed the plane up whole, we're supposed to believe.
We're supposed to believe. And a related fact is that there was no seismic signal from the Pentagon. Kim and Baum, these two professionals who were asked by the Army to come up with seismic studies of all four crashes, say, we got a good signal from the Twin Towers, each building, and from the crash in Pennsylvania, believe it or not, where this plane allegedly plowed into this very soft ground,
mm-hmm.
and yet hitting at ground floor, ground level almost, on this very strong reinforced building in the Pentagon, it doesn't even register, and yet it's the same, virtually the same size of plane as hits the Twin Towers.
Dave and Humboldt, you're next. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Peter. And, Professor, I'm long an admirer of your very objective, intelligent, rational efforts in this area. The evidence to me is overwhelming. I would mention but a few briefly here. The earliest days of PNAC, when they were first planning their invasions, they mentioned then, to get the people to support this, we will need to have a new Pearl Harbor type of event. That says something to me. Coincidence also, Chief of Security at WTC was Neil Bush, who had the good fortune
Marvin.
Resign.
Marvin Bush, not
Marvin
Neil.
Marvin Bush, I'm sorry. Had the good fortune to resign that job on 9/10/2001. So, and another thing, I've been a pilot for 40 years, and the technology exists today that if I have a recording of your voices, I can listen to you two right now, talk through this machine, and I can have you confessing to thinking the Lusitania in your own voices. So that has me, it does exist. And in my years as a pilot, I do know you can make calls from cell phones, and it wasn't at 40,000 feet, or they'd have overflown all the towers by about 35,000 feet. So.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. A quick comment from Sue in Santa Cruz. Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if any research has been done to see if in the history of the fighter jets that were supposed to come and intercept all these planes, that this incident has happened before where all of these people were off doing their war games and everything like that all at the same time. Because it just seems too bizarre that they would all be off doing things on the very same morning. So, has that ever occurred before? Can we check schedules back several years to see if that's ever happened before?
And actually, they were not all off. Syracuse, you know, called in and said, look, we can have planes, armed planes to you in 10 minutes if you need them. NEAD said we didn't need them. But in any case, if anything like this had happened before, you can be sure that defenders of the official story would be citing
that as precedent and saying, well, look, it just happened again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So evidently there is no precedent for this.
All right.
But as I say, one thing I cite in Chapter 1, the official story is that there were only two bases with each one having two fighters on alert that to protect the whole northeast of United States. And I show by quoting this fellow who still works at the Boston Center that he was calling all over, you know, saying, well, let's pull planes from Syracuse, let's pull planes from Andrews, let's pull planes from Selfridge, Toledo. He knew there were planes available.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Griffin, thank you for your time today. Thanks for all the work you've put into the books you've written. I want to recommend the new one to our listeners. You can learn more about the 9/11 conspiracy theory that we've been sold and the search for the truth. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
The new book again is Debunking 9/11 Debunking. David Ray Griffin has been our guest this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com.
I'll tell you what I got cooking, Dinners Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinners Ready?
That's right, Dinners Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinners Ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Tying war funding to a withdrawal, a standoff between Congress and the White House.
It's one of the worst ideas to ever come out of the Congress in the history of warfare.
And John McCain makes it official.
Today, I announce my candidacy for President of the United States.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. The commander of U.S. troops in Iraq, General Dave Petraeus, appeared before Congress today to talk about progress in Iraq. But the House and Senate are nearing a vote on tying funding for the war to a U.S. withdrawal, even though the White House is promising a fight.
The president will veto this measure. He should.
If the president vetoes this legislation, he will not only be vetoing full funding for our troops, but ignoring, in my opinion, the will of the American people.
Here's CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson.
The $124 billion emergency spending bill fully funds the war in Iraq, but the binding deadline for troop withdrawal, insisted on by Democrats, has been replaced by a non-binding redeployment goal of April 1, 2008, with some pullouts beginning as early as July and no later than October.
The House votes tonight, the Senate tomorrow. Both are expected to pass, but by just a handful. A new UN report accuses the Iraq government of withholding civilian casualty numbers to avoid making the situation appear grim. The report says the humanitarian crisis in Iraq is worsening. Now this.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Dolores. How may I assist you?
Somebody just stole my truck.
I'm sorry that happened to you. Have you called the police?
Police are standing right in my living room. Now, what out to work? Do you guys call the police and say you've located it?
Yes, now we will call you and let you know. I'm going to begin searching for your vehicle right now. Do you have the VIN number?
3G like golf.
If your vehicle is stolen, OnStar can work with authorities to help them locate it.
This is Kelly.
Hello, this is Dolores with OnStar. I just wanted to let you know that we have located the vehicle.
That is awesome. OnStar rocks.
Appreciate you saying that. That's what that makes our day. It really
does. Thank you, Dolores.
You are quite welcome.
Stolen vehicle location assistance is just one of many OnStar services available on over 50 GM models. The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
In New Hampshire today, John McCain formally announced his candidacy for the White House. He's hoping to revive his position in polls by stressing his experience as a four-term senator and Vietnam veteran.
My friends, we face formidable challenges. I'm not afraid of them. I'm prepared for them. I'm not the youngest candidate, but I am the most experienced.
McCain's position on the Iraq war has hurt his numbers, but his aides believe his support will come from conservative Republicans. The state of California, which wants to impose tougher restrictions than the feds on greenhouse gas emissions, may sue the EPA.
Californians are very concerned about the environment. We've asked the federal government to give us the authority to regulate greenhouse gases here in California, and they've not done that yet.
Governor Schwarzenegger spokesman Aaron McLear.
The state of California actually emits a large share of the pollutants for this country. We recognize that. We want to do something about that. We need the federal government's cooperation for us to be able to set our own vehicle emission standards to help fight that.
The state's written a letter announcing its intent to sue. Some more college lenders have signed on to a new code of conduct. J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America have agreed to quit paying colleges in exchange for being made preferred lenders, and there will be no more incentives to financial aid officers. A children's advocacy group wants Shrek dropped as a spokesman for an anti-obesity drive and the government to justify using an ogre as a health advocate. The Institute of Medicine has some new recommended standards for school snacks and foods.
The idea, trim the fat, salt, sugar, and caffeine. For any student, any time, the healthiest snacks are recommended.
Such as apples, carrot sticks, raisins, low-fat or non-fat milk.
High schoolers, after the final bell, could get others, like
baked potato chips, animal crackers, and pretzels.
No sodas, diet or regular, no sports drinks or light juices.
Our guidelines recommend only three beverages. Plain water, low-fat, non-fat milk, 100% fruit juice.
Concerned about childhood obesity, Congress ordered these Institute of Medicine guidelines, but it's unclear how they'll be implemented or how soon. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Texas lawmakers have struck down the governor's executive order that all sixth-grade girls be required to have the cervical cancer vaccine. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Out of ink, Office Depot has over 500 ink and toner products in stock at unbelievable prices. And you can save even more when you buy Office Depot brand versus national brands. Plus, our WorkLife Awards members earn 10% back on Office Depot brand ink and toner purchases. Don't risk running out of ink and setting your business back. Let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Farmers Insurance brings you this important message about the coming storm season. As you know, the best defense... That's why our agents are among the best in the business. It's not just... So be prepared this coming storm season. Call 1-800-FARMERS for an agent near you. That way, you'll be as prepared as...
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up later, Dave Lindorf joins us, co-author of the book, The Case for Impeachment. We'll talk about the blackout of Kucinich's impeachment bill.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces sometimes.
Joining me now is Jeffrey Feldman. His website is frameshopisopen.com, where he focuses on language, rhetoric, and political discourse. He's the author of a brand new book called Framing the Debate, Famous Presidential Speeches and How Progressives Can Use Them to Change the Conversation. And Win Elections. Did violate the subtitle length rule, but we're coping with it. Jeffrey, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing today?
I'm great.
And I saw on your website you've been out on book tours, book appearances.
I've been getting out there, as a matter of fact. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's great to get out there and meet people, talk with them about these issues.
Any events over the next few days that my far-flung audience might be able to join you for?
Well, absolutely. I am going to be on the West Coast. Your listeners in San Francisco can join me at Drinking Liberally on May 7th.
Mm-hmm.
They can join me at Cody's in Berkeley on May 9th. Those two events, I'd love to see people there. They can see the schedule on my website.
Great. And now that we know that, I want you to come to our secret studio if you're going to be in the Bay Area for a couple of days, and we can meet face-to-face and maybe spend an hour talking.
That sounds great.
I'd love to do that. So I'll ask Katrina to work on scheduling that with you. I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the words that are flying around Washington these days and the way that, in particular, Democrats have chosen to address the issues as they fight with the president over the supplemental funding bill for the war in Iraq. And on the one hand, there have been moments where I feel like the Democrats get it, and they're really trying to reshape, reframe the debate. And far too often, Jeffrey, I hear them just falling into the easy traps of using the language and framing of the Bush administration. And let me bring up my first example, which is Harry Reid, who had a moment last week when he declared the war is lost after his meeting at the White House with Bush, Pelosi, and a few others. And yet he came back yesterday and he used this language here. This is a quote. "We believe the troops should get every penny they need, and we have put our money where our mouth is with this supplemental appropriation. But we believe there must be a change of direction in the war in Iraq." Now, number one, I feel there's a conflict between saying the war is lost and we just need a change of direction. But fundamentally, when he starts talking about funding the troops, that's the way Bush obscures the fact that of the $94 to $100 billion that is actually for military in any way, shape, or form, precious little of that money is actually, quote unquote, for the troops.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point that you make, Peter. And let me just start out by quickly bringing your listeners into the room as to what it is that Bush tries to do when he frames the Iraq War. Whenever there's criticism that comes out of the Democratic Party against Bush's policy, Bush tries to use this time frame or a path frame in order to say to the American public, look, you know, what we're trying now is going to take 3 months or 6 months. We've got this surge, and it's only been a little bit of time. We need to give it some time. So if we don't see success right here and now, that's because everybody needs to have patience. We'll see it 6 months down the road. And they have been saying this now for years. Every time there's criticism, they respond by saying, well, what can you expect? Things are just getting started. The government just began. And you hear this idea over and over again. So when Harry Reid, he stood up and said the war is lost, what he was essentially doing was saying that time frame is nonsense. The war is lost right now. We are dealing with the crisis in this moment. We are no longer going to accept this ridiculous framing that success is in the future, and we have to hold on endlessly while our soldiers are caught in a no-win situation. And what, you know, what happened in response to that was a real hard attack against Harry Reid and also against Nancy Pelosi by such luminaries of the Republican Party as Tom DeLay, and the Vice President, and James Inhofe, who accused these leaders of our government of treason, of essentially, you know, being treasonous and undermining the troops in a time of war. And these accusations, these criticisms, really, I think, they sent Reid into a slightly defensive position where he took up some of the arguments of Bush and started to defend once again the Democrats' loyalty to the troops, which of course should never be in doubt.
Yeah, right. And let's just talk about the comment last week, the war is lost. I believe that that is an accurate statement, but it's politically very difficult because what I believe is that the president has failed, that his strategies, his policies are a total failure, and his claim that we're on the verge of victory if is simply not credible. And I believe that militarily we have lost, but I think politically using that language is very dangerous. And from Mitch McConnell to, as you say, Tom DeLay and Inhofe, they have now formed this chorus of, oh, you want to set a date for defeat? You want to set a date for, you know, withdrawal, retreat. So it really, in some ways, was unwise of Harry Reid to use the specific words that he did.
It was a little bit unwise, and I think that the reason that they got there is because there seems to be a larger idea coming out of the leadership in Washington right now, and it extends across a variety of issues, not just the war in Iraq. Also, we'll hear it also in the Gonzalez testimony. It's something that I call a management frame, where Democrats are essentially trying to say, look, there is widespread incompetence in the Bush White House. And, you know, it's not, and the reason that they're deferring to this particular idea, in order to say effectively, look, the war has been lost by actions of the president. Therefore, the Democrats need to step in because we're better managers, we're more competent, and we need to fix this problem. That seems to be one way that the Democratic leadership in Washington is dealing with what they believe to be the politically problematic position of saying immediately, we want the war over, we want the troops home. They want something a little bit more passive in which they are seen as leaders stepping in to solve the problem, in which they don't have to deal with the potentially, what they see as a potentially damaging political problem of having to say that, you know, that they want to bring the troops home. So that passive statement, the war is lost, is what came out. And I think that what Reid forgot to do was he forgot to define, you know, what a winning war potentially is, what the purpose of war is. And he forgot to really put that something in a broader context. You know, this war was lost from the moment it even began because it was a war that was waged for the wrong reasons. You know, I think that Reid could have said something like, you know, the president needs a history lesson. You know, the United States, we go to war not out of an aggressive stance, but to defend American principles, like we the people. Reference, you know, a great American speech by someone like Abraham Lincoln, in which, you know, Reid could have really brought the American people onto the same page and given them something to rally around. But he gave what was a very halting statement, and I think as a result he left himself open to that attack.
The other thing I would say, and I have said this before, is that Reid and Pelosi have very weak hands in card parlance, but they're playing them as strongly as they can, and there is an element of bluff to what they're doing. The president's bluffing to some extent, too. And so I do give Reid and Pelosi credit for making the strongest play of the cards that they have. But both sides know that the president can veto this, and the Democrats don't have the votes to override.
Absolutely. And what, I mean, everybody should keep in mind that what Reid and Pelosi have to do, and what they're doing fairly well, is they're doing some backroom negotiating. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi in particular has a reputation for being a good horse trader on the floor of Congress. And so I think that, you know, in addition to letting them know what we think about the current state of the media debate, it is important to support the leaders of in the House and the Senate right now, to let them know that what we want is for them to just stand up and be strong, to speak back when they get these attacks, and to not be bullied, in particular by, you know, disgraced ex-congressmen, you know, indicted people like Tom DeLay, who have the audacity to stand up and make accusations given his history.
Well, and previously we had a media that would have not presented Tom DeLay's quotes. They would have said he's a marginalized, corrupt former congressman, and his comments have no weight. But in the era of gotcha journalism and neener broadcast coverage, you know, Tom DeLay, even though he's not elected to anything currently, he is seen as a pundit of some value.
Isn't that a sad commentary on our media that, you know, the next stop after disgraced congressman and indictment is you become a media pundit? I mean, it really is quite incredible that Tom DeLay's, you know, his disgraced status gives him some authority now in this new position. So I think that, among other things, people should keep in mind that DeLay is fishing around for a more permanent position in the media, but, you know, he's really being backed up, you know, not just by the right-wing noise machine, but his ideas are echoing through, filtering into the media. And I think in particular that tomorrow is a very, very important day where this treason story will burst onto the front pages in a big way, and that people should be prepared to really speak back to this particular idea, you know, speak back in their personal conversations and letters to the editor, online, and anywhere where they can. They really can't let this idea of treason stand for 1 minute.
I agree. We're talking with Jeffrey Feldman. His website, frameshopisopen.com. Check it out next time you're online. We'll continue in just a moment, and I do have some kind words for some of the language used by Pelosi and Reid. We'll get to that in just a moment. Want to remind you that Bill Moyers has a powerful 90-minute special on PBS tonight, 9 p.m. on most stations, but check your local listings. It's called Buying the War. I hope you'll watch it, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. More in a moment with Jeffrey Feldman here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Chrysler Crossfire LTD Roadster, an impressive little sports car with great styling and a beefy six-cylinder engine. My Crossfire demo drew lots of attention, and fortunately it wasn't from the highway patrol because I had a hard time staying under the limit. The six-speed manual transmission performs very well, and second gear has lots of headroom as you accelerate, but offers less compression braking on hills and back roads. The convertible top resembles the Mercedes SLK system, which is complicated and could require maintenance. My only problem is the snug cockpit where my left shin made contact with the bottom of the dashboard when I shifted. This is common in the small roadsters. By the numbers, the 2007 Chrysler Crossfire is about 17 miles in the city, 25 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $41,000.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans. One is very likely to meet your particular needs.
For
a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative
Absorbs
Mortgage,
release.
Call
757-0436. Gold bond medicated body.
The knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
All right. Hi, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest. We're going to start off on Highway 17 with some good news. No problems to report. No accidents. No stalls. No nothing. I know that's correct English, but what the heck. Listen, Santa Cruz County, delays possible in school zones throughout the county as enforcement agencies conduct a good operation. It's called Operation Safe Passage all this week, looking for speeders, jaywalkers, cyclists without helmets, drivers who, of course, fail to stop when school buses are flashing lights. So be advised, that's a program going to be in effect all week. Salinas San Juan Grade at Newland Street, a vehicle hit a utility pole. Emergency crews do have the northbound lane shut down. CHP is actually directing traffic at this point. Meanwhile, this report brought to you by Gold Pond. Medicated powder is the number one selling medicated body powder in America because it works. It's triple action, cools, absorbs. Gold Bond medicated body powder.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Dave Lindorf's going to join us about 10 minutes from now. He wrote the book, The Case for Impeachment. He was there at the event at the Capitol today at noon. And so far, there's been a corporate media blackout, as far as I can tell. New York Times had an online story yesterday acknowledging Dennis Kucinich's announcement of a bill of impeachment against Vice President Cheney. But in the hard copy of the Times today, I scoured the front news section, did not find word one about it. There's a smarmy piece by Dana Milbank in the Washington Post today that is highly dismissive and ridicules Kucinich in personal and ways that I find offensive. And the San Francisco Chronicle, again, had not one word about that announcement yesterday. Jeffrey, you and I, Jeffrey Feldman with us, by the way, from frameshopisopen.com. And Jeffrey, you and I have talked about this before. Explain your view of what the average American thinks the word impeachment means.
I think the average American thinks that the word impeachment is the actual act of convicting and throwing the president out of office. Most people don't realize that impeachment essentially means to convene a particular type of court in Congress. So it's the beginning of a process, not the end of a trial. So a lot of people ridicule impeachment because they don't think it's really viable to effectively throw the guy out of office, and they don't take it very seriously. But impeachment is an incredibly important important process. It's something that connects up state-level government up to the federal government, and it is a very, very important thing to take seriously. And there's a huge movement underway in the country being spearheaded by all kinds of progressive groups to get local state governments to pass resolutions that press impeachment. So I think it's quite a valuable step that Kucinich took. And he, of course, you know, Kucinich being a very outspoken progressive in Congress is going to get beaten up by the media. But I think that this story will have some legs, and we'll hear about it much more over the next few days.
Yeah, I hope so. And we're doing our part to try to get that information out there. I said before the break that I have heard some rhetoric from Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi that I embrace and I think is smart. And that is the suggestion that the president is in denial about the problems in Iraq. Soundbite of the week was from Harry Reid, and he had a line. He said, yeah, the president gave a speech, and according to the White House, it was given in the state of Michigan. He said, I believe it was given in a state of denial. And it was a great 10-second bite, got picked up in a lot of places. And that, to me, it's much more politically effective than the war is lost, even though, as I said, I generally agree with Harry Reid's assessment.
It was a great moment when Reid made that statement. And it was great because Americans are very familiar with that phrase right now because of Bob Woodward's book. It's a book that you can still see on shelves. And there is a broader discussion going on, not just amongst Democrats, but also amongst Republicans, about how isolated the president has become, how cut off from both the voice of the people in this country and from the reality in Iraq. In addition to Reid's statement, David Iglesias, who was one of the attorney generals, the federal attorneys who was fired.
Correct.
He put out a column I believe it came out today, in which he talked about President Bush being just incredibly isolated and cut off and virtually incapable of making good decisions anymore, and that there's a growing voice amongst Republicans, Iglesias being a Republican, who view President Bush that way. So when Reid used that turn of phrase, in denial, he was able, I think, to link up a broad sentiment that connects a lot of Americans out there who are, you know, perhaps the Americans who are tired of partisan fighting going on in government, but who are even more tired of a president who is completely out of touch with what's going on in the world.
And Nancy Pelosi singing in the same key. For the first time, the president will have to face up, will have to be accountable for this war in Iraq, and he doesn't want to face that reality.
And Nancy Pelosi is doing a great job. And I mean, everybody can go check out the job that she's doing on her website, speaker.gov, where you can read what she calls the Iraq Accountability Act, in which she is proposing really a sweeping legislation that will put in place all kinds of measures to require the administration and the military to be more accountable to the people, to Congress, for everything that's going on in Iraq. And it's an incredibly level-headed bill. It focuses not just on making sure that the troops are prepared and that the Iraqi government is taking the steps that have been asked of them, but also making sure that there's enough funding for our men and women when they come back injured. So it's, you know, that notion of accountability, which was a key idea that got Democrats into the majority in the first place in the 2006 elections, is one that Pelosi is very wise to come back to, and she's been very articulate.
And, Jeffrey, I may be putting you on the spot here, but you're usually quick with a response. Who else do you think has been making good use of language and framing in promoting a progressive viewpoint, either on the war or some other important issue?
Well, it is putting me on the spot, but I think that Bill Richardson has done a good job. I think that as a result of this MoveOn virtual conference that was held about Iraq last week, Bill Richardson's suggestion that there be regional conventions or conferences, reconciliation conferences, as a step towards a solution in Iraq, that idea, that frame, has really pushed its way into the media. Just yesterday I heard Cheney use that idea, the notion that all kind of actors in the region should come together and have a conference. It's something that progressives have been pushing for a long time, and Richardson put it out there. So it's just come as no surprise to listeners, Bill Richardson, a seasoned diplomat, but I think that his frame, a very diplomatic frame, has been very successful, and I think it's a good one.
Yeah. I did see a Week interview with him about the Virginia Tech issues, and he's a pro-gun Democrat, and he was trying to play down the gun issue by constantly shifting the point to mental health coverage. I don't think it worked.
Not a shining moment for Democrats.
No, I agree. Okay. Well, Jeffrey, thank you very much. We'll see you when you're on the West Coast in a week or two. And again, the book is Framing the Debate. Jeffrey Feldman, our guest. His website, frameshopisopen.com.
Thanks, Peter.
You bet. Coming up next, Dave Lindorf returns to our program. He co-authored the book, The Case for Impeachment. He was there at the Capitol today. We'll get the lowdown here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Are politicians playing politics with the war? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. As far as the vice president is concerned, there's no question about it. Attaching conditions to the Iraq funding bill, as the Senate Democrats have done under Harry Reid, is a cynical attempt to get votes.
Senator Reid himself has said that the war will bring his party more seats.
Using a war for political advantage. Coincidentally, the same day, in a hearing room not far from where the vice president was speaking, Kevin Tillman, brother of fallen Army Ranger Pat Tillman, was describing how the Army lied about his brother's death by friendly fire.
Revealing that Pat's death was a fratricide would have been yet another political disaster, so the facts needed to be suppressed.
And then there was Jessica Lynch. You remember her story. Captured March 23, 2003, when her construction battalion was ambushed on the way to Baghdad. She went down rescued a week later, finally returning home to West Virginia a hero.
I've read thousands of stories that said when I was captured, I said, I'm an American soldier too. Those stories were right.
But yesterday, in that hearing room, she expressed a somewhat different opinion of the media that had tried to turn her into Joan of Arc.
All repeating the story of the little girl Rambo from the hills of West Virginia who went down fighting. It was not true.
All politicians run for office promising to put truth above politics.
We offer another way, a better way, and a stiff dose of truth.
But when winning is at stake, be it an election or a war, sometimes you forget. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall.
Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM,
888-ANTI-SPAM,
or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you see this table? Impeachment is on the table. There he is, the bard of the Santa Cruz Mountains, Neil Young, with the best song about impeachment these days. That's from Living with War, the CD he released last summer. Dave Lindorf joins us from Washington, where he has ducked out of a panel discussion that he's participating in. Dave, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Peter.
Dave's book, which he co-authored with Barbara Olshansky, the attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights, is called The Case for Impeachment, The Legal Argument for Removing President George W. Bush from Office. And I understand it's coming out in paperback real soon.
In the next couple of weeks.
Great. Well, it's on my impeachment shelf and right up there with John Nichols and I guess there are two or three other titles.
Yeah, the shelf's getting heavy.
Elizabeth de la Vega, the former U.S. attorney, was on our program yesterday. She wrote the book U.S. versus George W. Bush et al. And many of us in the progressive arena, Dave, don't need much convincing that Bush and Cheney have repeatedly violated the law, their oaths of office, the U.S. Constitution, and that they deserve to be fully investigated, up to and including impeachment and removal from office. And yet yesterday, Congressman Kucinich went public with his plan to start off with impeachment of the vice president. And there's a virtual corporate news blackout. I watched television last night. NBC put it on the crawl on MSNBC. But they made time for Rosie O'Donnell dropping some F-bombs, discussion of Sanjaya, the guy from American Idol. But they didn't have room to acknowledge that Dennis Kucinich made a very important step yesterday.
Yeah, no, that's right. He has put in a bill to impeach Vice President Cheney, which means that we have a limited menu on the table at this point, but at least, you know, the hors d'oeuvre is out there. The problem is that, you know, if you take this metaphor along, the chef, Nancy Pelosi, doesn't want to cook the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the problem is, the people of the United States, it's becoming clear, the people want this president impeached, they want the vice president impeached, and the politicians, especially the Democrats who have the responsibility of bringing this thing forward, are really afraid of it. Or they don't want it because they like the situation the way it is. They like the idea of having an unpopular president heading into 2008, and they're thinking purely in terms of their you know, calculations of what's best for them coming into the 2008 elections and not about the survival of constitutional government.
And what reasons do the Democrats advance publicly? They may have privately different considerations, but what are they willing to say publicly about why they don't want to pursue impeachment? As John Nichols and you have pointed out, I believe they have a constitutional duty to hold this administration accountable up to and including impeachment and removal.
They absolutely do. I mean, every one of them took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. And yet, what they're doing is, as I said, I think, you know, Rahm Emanuel said that the war running through Election Day in 2008 is good for Democrats. That was pretty heartless. And I think they think the same way about Bush and Cheney staying in office. It's good for Democrats, they think. I'm not even sure they're right, but that's what they think. Now, in terms of the arguments they're advancing, they're absolutely ludicrous and pathetic. I mean, one is we have important things that need to be passed in this Congress. Well, they can't pass anything because they have such narrow majorities that even if they could pass bills and get them to the president's desk, the president can veto them and they can't override. Or even if they could manage to water down their bills enough to get enough Republican support on the bill to get an override, the president has made it clear 1,200 times now that he doesn't feel bound by the Constitution, in which requires him to enact the laws passed by Congress. He can simply say, in his view, I'm the president in time of war, and I'm not going to enact that law. He's done it 1,200 times. And so this is a totally fraudulent claim, and what the Democrats really want to do here is pass meaningless legislation that will never be enacted so they can point to it in the election campaign and say, well, if we had more votes, we could pass this kind of legislation in the future. So it's all posturing.
And have you, Dave, have you heard a credible argument from a Democrat that an impeachment proceeding, because it would end up being, close to the election cycle next year, could cause the Democrats to lose the White House and or one of the houses of Congress if it backfires? I don't quite see that. There is some risk, but to me, ultimately, if they do what's right, the American people will acknowledge that.
Well, for that argument to make sense, you'd have to assume that Republicans get excited by having their guy attacked, but the Democrats don't get excited by having their guys stand up for the Constitution. I mean, they're all talking about rallying the Republican base, but Democrats never rally the Democratic base. And surely impeachment, with over 85% of Democrats saying they support impeachment, or think the president has committed impeachable crimes, then, you know, what better way to finally get Democrats excited about Democratic candidates than by carrying the impeachment battle forward?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, the other point is they make this claim. You asked what arguments they're making. One of the arguments is we don't have time to impeach the president. And this is the most ludicrous of all because, you know, the president committed a felony in the NSA spying. A federal court has already declared after a trial in Detroit that the president is a felon, that he has committed a felony in violating the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and that he violated the First and Fourth Amendment. And you wouldn't even need an impeachment hearing on that. He agrees that he authorized it, and the judge has declared that he broke the law. So right there, a woman nearby just said, not only that, he's a nut, too. But you know, you could vote that up or down in Congress without a hearing. And then likewise, the abuse of power of not following the Constitution and enacting laws passed by the Congress. That's a flat out high crime of abuse of power, which doesn't need any explication. You know, we know he did it. We know he did it 1,200 times. And the facts are right there. So do you think it's an impeachment act or not? And if it is an impeachable act, they can vote on it. They don't need a hearing.
Now, hold
hearings on other issues, but not those two.
And Dave Lindorf, tell me your thoughts on Kucinich's idea here of going after Cheney first. I understand the obvious argument that it's very difficult to do a twofer, and that if you impeach Bush first, then Cheney succeeds him, and you haven't really fixed the problem. But the flip side
that was the other bogus argument that a lot of Democratic leaders make as well. If we impeach Bush, then we get Cheney. I think it's a fraud because, you know, first of all, Cheney would be implicated in any crimes that Bush is implicated in during hearings, and therefore he would be probably indicted because he doesn't have the protection against indictment that the president has. But even if not, there's so many crimes by Cheney that could bring him down, and so many reasons why Republicans would not want a guy with a 9% approval rating heading their party going into 2008, that I think they would see that he would have to resign for health reasons for the survival of the Republican Party. So he'd be gone. But given that that's a fraudulent argument, it's still an argument that's being made, and I think Kucinich's idea of impeaching Cheney gets him out of the way fast and ends that argument.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think an impeachment of Cheney could be done quickly. I think that members of Congress will have less grounds for saying let's not do it because he is so monumentally unpopular, that, you know, it probably is a sensible move, and hopefully we'll see some other members of Congress sign on with Kucinich. I had the experience of going into a few offices today with some people who were lobbying members of Congress. We went into Congressman Jones' office from North Carolina, Republican.
Walter Jones.
Who has spoken, said publicly that he thinks the president has committed impeachable acts, and one of his aides was very warm to the idea that perhaps Jones should sign on to Kucinich's three articles of impeachment of Cheney,
mm-hmm.
all of which involve Jones's issues, which are the war.
Right. Now, the bill of impeachment is in three parts. It relates to the lies that led us into Iraq relative to WMD, the lies that led us into Iraq claiming a relationship between Saddam and Al-Qaeda, and thirdly, a kind of preemptive bill of impeachment related to the prospect of a war with Iran, which Cheney appears to be a strong champion of.
Well, even more than that, he makes the point that it's illegal under international law to threaten to attack another country that is not posing a immediate threat to you, and he makes the point that Cheney has done that threat, so he's actually committed the crime already of threatening war. So
mm-hmm.
it's not even a prospective measure, it's a statement of a criminal act.
Now, you made a comment a minute ago that it should be easy to dispatch Cheney, but I'm looking at his public record. He didn't make the speech about the yellow cake uranium. He did make comments on Meet the Press and in other places, but I don't consider those to be as actionable as the official statements of the president. What do you see as the greatest vulnerabilities that Cheney has toward proving any one of those three bills of impeachment?
Well, lying to the American people, particularly in a campaign to go to war, is a high crime. The Founding Fathers made that very clear, that one of the things they felt would be a crime would be lying to the American people. And indeed, one of the impeachment articles against Richard Nixon was lying to the American people. So I think that is actionable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, when you're talking about ginning up for a war, a lie to the public to try to get the public behind a war under false pretenses is a very, very serious lie. And that's what the issue is in impeachable lies, is how serious is the lie? What's
mm-hmm.
the implications? What does the lie lead to?
Yeah. But I guess Kucinich felt it was too complicated to try to deal with the way that intelligence was manipulated, particularly by the office of the vice president?
That's in supporting documents.
Okay.
So, you have to read all. He has a huge, fat notebook of supporting documents. And if you go to afterdowningstreet.org, they've put a lot of the supporting evidence that Kucinich laid out online with a click here and a click there. You can get it all.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. Well, Dave, I want to
let... It's a well-documented bill that he's put together.
I want to let you go in a minute because I know you ducked out of a panel discussion there, and I don't want you to be absent too long. Finally, just give us a quick sketch of what occurred today in the event at noontime. I understand Daniel Ellsberg spoke. Mayor Rocky Anderson of Salt Lake City was there. What else was memorable for you?
Well, John Nichols sort of emceed it and did a fantastic job. And Eric Omeg, who was the senator that filed the resolution that failed thanks to pressure from Democratic leaders in Washington, in the state of Washington, he came and spoke very eloquently. Cindy Sheehan, of course. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people speaking, and Kucinich himself spoke, and considerable press, although I have to say there were a lot of foreign voices being spoken at those cameras.
Yeah.
You know, the mainstream media is falling once again, falling down on the job. My profession, I'm ashamed to admit, is disgracing itself and is disgracing itself again in this story. This is a big story, you know, to finally challenge the Democratic leadership on this took considerable courage, and Kucinich deserves a lot of credit for it.
Yeah, he sure does. Well, Dave Lindorf, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for what you're doing, and don't stop.
And keep your eye on Vermont.
Okay, we certainly will.
That's a very hot story.
We're looking for news, and we have not heard yet if the lower house did approve the resolution that was passed by the Senate there last week.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Peter, for having me on.
My pleasure. Dave Lindorf, coming out in paperback, the book, The Case for Impeachment, The Legal Argument for Removing President George W. Bush from Office. Dave Lindorf and Barbara Olshansky co-authored that book. We're going to open up the phone lines now for the rest of the program. It's the Free Speech Zone. I want to hear from you. And if you think impeachment is not a good idea, call me and tell me why. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. Give me a call next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
All right, everybody, let's take a look at the latest, and let's start off with Salinas. San Juan Grade at Newland Street, a vehicle hit a utility pole there, and so fire crews are on the scene. PG&E also there. In fact, PG&E is actually making some repairs as we speak. All the lanes have been reopened. They were shut down at one point, but again, they have no estimated time of how long good old PG&E is going to be there. Meanwhile, Salinas, it's Alisal at Hartnell Drive. It's a fender bender. It is off to the right-hand shoulder, and two vehicles involved. Other than that, Highway 17 looking good. No problems to report, and things looking pretty excellent, to say the least. And let's take a look at the Highway 1 southbound between Monterey and Carmel. No problems there. This support brought to you by PG&E. Right now, get up to $75 rebate for a new high-efficiency clothes washer at PG&E.
We're getting off to an early start today. It's time for the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome. Do you know the rules? Any subject, any viewpoint. from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B.
Ain't no Rumsfeld, now he's gone. I always thought that Don was great, but he kind of botched the war, and I showed him to the door just about 3 years too late. Had to fire my old friend. Iraq's an emergency. The only way that we can win is for Rumsfeld to begin running the insurgency. I don't remember what. I don't know what I was talking about.
Okay. Well, I should have warned you, but I received a new release today from the Capitol Steps. It's called Springtime for Liberals, and that's just one of the tracks called Ain't No Rumsfeld. Ah, those wacky folks. You know, the Capitol Steps is a group, a troop of people, maybe 20, 25 of them now, and they all at one time or another served as staffers on Capitol Hill. Neil Howe, Bill Strauss, and Elena Newport are the co-founders that I know, but there are probably others responsible for this stuff. And we'll pick another track or two before the end of the show. My lines are open for you, but nobody's calling. And I'm perplexed. I really am, because we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and I believe that impeachment is a very important story. I think it's long overdue, and I believe that Cheney and Bush fully deserve it. And yet yesterday, the phones were not ringing off the hook, and I'm not trying to make you feel guilty or bad, but I am puzzled. Because usually when we talk about a hot-button subject like this, the lines light up faster than Who Shot Bob. And so, give me a reality check. Do you think I'm off base? Do you think that the people you heard, from John Nichols to Dave Lindorf to the mayor of Nyack, New York, former councilman Dave Mazur from Arcata, do you think they're weirdos, fringe people? And do you think that the corporate media has made the right decision by giving no honest reporting about Dennis Kucinich's bills of impeachment? And, as I mentioned, the one story that was published today by Dana Milbank in the Washington Post simply ridicules Kucinich. It opens a quote from Kucinich, "I do not stand alone," Dennis Kucinich said as he stood alone in front of a cluster of microphones. A little later, Dana Milbank makes fun of Kucinich because he's only 5'6". What the hell does that have to do with the crimes of the Bush administration? And they are many, and they are obvious. And I, for one, am angry that the mainstream media is ignoring this. After all, when Clinton got impeached over Monica Lewinsky, they made tabloid hay out of it day after day. So now all the lines are lit up. I'm going to find out where people stand, I can tell. Lisa in Eureka, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
You're on the air.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, my question is if we don't go for impeachment with Bush, and we let him ride out his term in office without Cheney, or they still have Karl Rove, of course, but without Cheney, can he be held accountable as a private citizen on felony charges?
You know, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know the explicit answer to that, but I think that there is a general immunity for official acts as president. And I believe that the constitutional remedy is limited to impeachment. Now, if, Bush went on a hunting accident and intentionally shot a friend, if he embezzled money from the government, you know, there are a lot of crimes.
But hasn't he actually done that? not shooting his unintentionally shooting his friend or intentionally shooting his friend or whatever.
Well, the money part, but it's been carefully laundered through daddy's companies and Halliburton and places like that. So his fingerprints are not directly on it, and I think it would be a stretch. Now, maybe there are lawyers out there who can offer another comment, but I don't know a direct way that you can hold a president accountable for official acts through the criminal process after they've left office.
That's a shame. Because, you know, he said that the Constitution was a GD piece of paper.
Right.
And he doesn't feel that he needs to uphold that Constitution that he took an oath of office to do. Mm-hmm. That he put his hand on his little Bible that he proudly says he's a man of God and swore to uphold.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, he still says it's a GD piece of paper. How dare he?
And he treats it with great contempt.
Exactly. So I impeach them both. You know, actually, like your gentleman said, we don't have to impeach Bush. It's already been done.
Well, but he's still there. And Nancy Pelosi says it would be a waste of time. I don't agree with that.
I don't agree either.
I think even if we never formally remove him from office, that it's important to hold him accountable. It's important to expose the crimes that have been committed, if only to try to set an example for future presidents and prevent this kind of extremism from taking hold again.
I agree. And as far as the mainstream media is concerned, yeah, I think they need to be held accountable.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
So I want a reality check from you. Am I off base about impeachment? Or do you think this is the important story that really could lead to the kind of accountability we seek? Call me. We'll take your calls the entire next hour at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Tom Foti on Capitol Hill, where the House is debating a symbolic bill to pay for U.S. military operations in Iraq as the president wants, but attaching strings he says he will not accept. California Republican David Dreyer.
The president of the United States will veto a bill that guarantees failure, which is what this bill would do, by establishing these arbitrary deadlines for withdrawal.
New York Democrat Louise Slaughter.
To every man and woman in country, there comes a moment to decide. This is one of those moments. And we tell the President of the United States, if he vetoes this, he is absolutely continuing on a road to absolute failure.
The vote expected in about an hour. I'm Tom Foti, live on Capitol Hill. With more news, here's Cammie McCormick.
Senator John McCain formally announced today he's running for president.
I do so grateful for the privilege this country has already given, mindful that I must seek these responsibilities for reasons greater than my self-interest.
McCain has been lagging in the polls, partly because of his stance on the war in Iraq. California says it will sue the EPA because it wants tougher restrictions on automobile emissions, tougher than the current federal guidelines. Aaron McClear is a spokesman for Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Under the Federal Clean Air Act, we have the right to set our own vehicle emission standards, as long as the U.S. EPA grants a waiver of that preemption. But up to this point, EPA has ignored our request for a waiver. It's been over a year now, and that's delayed our implementation.
So the state has sent the EPA a letter announcing its intent to sue. They work closely together for obvious reasons, but just how close should your doctor be to the company that makes your medication?
The New England Journal of Medicine says relationships between doctors and the drug companies are a fundamental part of how medicine is practiced in the U.S. Free samples, free lunches, payments for giving lectures. Co-author Eric Campbell of Harvard Medical School says it's education, it's marketing, but not necessarily bribery.
There's very little empirical evidence to suggest the various different types of relationships have an impact on what doctors prescribe.
But the drug companies apparently think the gifts and the meetings help them. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Officials at Virginia Tech said today that gunman Sungwe Cho fired as many as 170 rounds from his pistols, one shot every 3 seconds. And they believe he acted alone last Monday.
We can't find anyone or anybody that seems to have assisted him in any fashion.
Stronger than expected profits drove the Dow today above 13,000. Can it last?
I think it's got legs. There's no question about it that the momentum is really strong.
Marilyn Cohen is with Envision Capital Management. The Dow finished 135 points higher at 13,089, and the Nasdaq Composite Index was up as well by 23 points. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood Files. The American Heart Association says one way to promote a healthy heart is to eat a diet naturally rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Well, did you know Welch's 100% grape juice contains powerful antioxidants, much like the grapes used to make red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. It may be the tastiest way to help protect your heart. I made the switch to Welch's 100% grape juice. No added sugar, unmistakably delicious taste. I'm Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
Farmers Insurance brings you this important message about the coming storm season. As you know, the best defense... That's why our agents are among the best in the business. It's not just... So be prepared this coming storm season. Call 1-800-FARMERS for an agent near you. That way, you'll be as prepared as...
The trial of music producer Phil Spector got underway today, 4 years after a shooting at his California estate that took the life of an actress. Steve Futterman was there for opening statements.
The jury heard two very different versions of the case. Prosecutor Alan Jackson called Phil Spector a killer.
Put a loaded pistol in Lana Clarkson's mouth and shot her to death.
Jackson also accused Spector of having a history of violence involving women and guns. In his opening statement, defense attorney Bruce Cutler said Spector is not guilty.
At the time the gun was fired, Philip was not holding that gun.
Cutler suggested police were out to get Spector. He repeatedly said they had murder on their mind. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the county courthouse in downtown Los Angeles.
Anna Nicole Smith's boyfriend wants their baby's birth certificate changed to reflect that he's the father. Larry Burkhead was recently matched to the child by DNA, and he hopes to leave the Bahamas with the seven-month-old soon. I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Dolores. How may I assist you?
Somebody just stole my truck.
I'm sorry that happened to you. Have you called the police?
Police are standing right in my living room. Now, how does it work? Do you guys call the police and say you've located it?
Yes, and we will call you and let you know. I'm going to begin searching for your vehicle right now. Do you have the VIN number?
3G, like golf.
If your vehicle is stolen, OnStar can work with authorities to help them locate it.
This is Kelly.
Hello, this is Dolores with OnStar. I just wanted to let you know that we have located the vehicle.
That is awesome. OnStar rocks.
Thank you for saying that. That makes our day. It really
does. Thank you, Dolores.
You are quite welcome.
Stolen vehicle location assistance is just one of many OnStar services available on over 50 GM models. The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
I'm seated behind the table and impeachment is on it. Does that make me crazy?
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there, was out there, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Does that make me crazy?
Does that make me crazy?
I'm looking for a reality check. My lines are all lit up. I appreciate your calls. We're going to get right to you here in the free speech zone. Am I crazy to think that impeachment is the right idea at this time? Oh, I'm a political realist, or at least I fancy that. And I understand the laws of unintended consequences. And sure, an impeachment process could spin out of Democratic control and allow the Republicans somehow to extend their rule in 2008. But I am less concerned about that than the Constitution. And whether Democrats or Republicans are in power in 2009, I want them to live within the Constitution. And even an impeachment exercise that doesn't go full term would put this administration and future politicians on notice. That you can't lie to the American people, you can't take us into a war that's not justifiable, and you can't keep rewarding your cronies and get away with it. It's that simple to me. Janice is driving around. Salinas, you're next here in the free speech zone. Hello, Janice.
Well, I'm very surprised that I got picked up here, but anyway, thank you very much for the wonderful job you do. I am totally in support of the impeachment process, regardless of what happens. In fact, my question to you is, can Bush be tried for war crimes when you consider not only the Americans that have lost their lives, but a huge number of Iraqis?
Well, the answer to that is not clear to me, because there are basically two courts where that would occur, and the U.S. has opted out of the International Criminal Court. The court in The Hague that has tried Milosevic and others, it's possible, but it would be a very lengthy process, and we can't rely on an international forum to discipline this administration for what they've done to our country. And I don't really want to go to some other forum. I would like us to handle this ourselves.
Right. Well, keep up the good work. You are a station that I listen to every chance I get, and I believe that you're one of my best resources for what's really going on.
Well, Janice, I appreciate the call. Thanks for the reality check. Now to Larry in Aptos. Hello, Larry.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like what Randy Rhodes said today. If Cheney gets impeached, Bush gets to be president.
That's a good line.
You know, I see kind of like two sides. It's like a double-edged sword here, really. You know, if you remember what happened with Nixon, you know, Agnew was forced to resign first because there were things about Agnew that came up. Just like with Cheney, you could have certain charges that he cooked the intelligence with the CIA going over there a bunch of times. If he resigns, because I think that's what Cheney would do, he wouldn't let himself get impeached. He probably would resign first.
Probably.
Health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what?
He wants to spend more time with his new granddaughter.
Well, then Bush gets to pick a new vice president, just like Nixon picked Ford. And then, if it gets to the situation where Bush gets implicated, and I think he would do what Nixon did, he would resign. I really think he would. Mm. He wouldn't want that stain on him. He wouldn't want that kind of stain, you know, the Clinton dress stain.
Yeah.
He wouldn't want, you know, we don't want to have a Republican with that stain of impeachment, so he would quit.
I wouldn't count on that, but continue.
Well, then you get another, and then whoever he picked to be VP gets to be president.
Mm-hmm. For about 20 minutes.
And, well, yeah, but, you know, again, you got that same old problem going on where it doesn't matter what the Democrats pass, that there's going to be a veto pen at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see the impeachment go forward, but you know, again, you got the mainstream media. They're going to be trashing the Democrats if they do try to impeach. I would hope that someone like Reid and Pelosi would get up there and call BS on the corporate media. You know, I think it would take that they would have to say, come on, let's judge this fairly. They need to get their ducks lined up in a row, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I see some problems with it. I'm for it, but you really I think the Democrats have to get a lot more spine. They're kind of there. They've gone about maybe a quarter to a third of the way there. Mm-hmm. They're not quite there yet.
I know among our listeners, we have some delegates to the Democratic State Convention in San Diego this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I know some are in Eureka. I know some in Santa Cruz. And I want to urge you to attend the sessions where the progressive Democrats will be presenting a resolution for impeachment. Get the state party to endorse it. Pelosi's going to be there, and the more of you who go up and court her personally, do it politely, do it in less than 30 seconds, but say, Madam Speaker, I respectfully ask you to put impeachment on the table. It's the right thing to do, and if we do the right thing, the political benefits will flow.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to take. Like you said, just be diplomatic. You don't want to, like, get in their face. I think somebody got in Obie's face
mm-hmm.
about the Iraq war, and, you know, we kind of turned on the guy.
Right.
You know, and...
Don't do the Larry David to Karl Rove at the correspondents' dinner.
yeah, exactly. So
I don't think that helped anybody's cause.
No, and Pelosi, I think, she kind of, you know, she's an Italian. She has a temper. So you don't want to get in her face too much there.
Right. Okay, thanks for the call, Eric.
All righty, bye-bye.
All right, Patrick in Monterey, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
No, I'm just joining the chorus, I guess.
Okay, thanks for your call.
But I felt guilty because I was, you know, I've been offline for like 3 years, and I just finally got back online. I think the last time I called was a month or two ago, and I was calling from a payphone. But I have a cell, and I'm back online, so I've kind of been in my little bunker here.
Wow, you're moving on up.
It's all my fault. And then when the lines filled up, I was like shaken from my little solipsistic, dream of delusion. But anyway, I agree with everything you've been saying. And I think it, you know, I'm astounded. I was looking through the New York Times, the Monterey Herald, the San Francisco Chronicle, nothing.
Right.
Only the feud between Reid and Cheney. I'm like, well, yeah, that was entertaining, but, you know, that's it.
Well, and Patrick,
it's an important step.
You know, don't you have your priorities straight? Rosie O'Donnell did not renew her contract at ABC and will be leaving The View. Now, isn't that more important than Dennis Kucinich introducing a bill of impeachment for the vice president?
Well, yeah, because, you know, as kind of tinfoil hat-ish as I think, you know, Alex Jones is, you know, isn't it more, important to be entertained? I mean, even though I agree with a lot of the stuff that Alex Jones does on his site, you know, he is linked to my favorite crazy-as-hell Christian, Tex Mars, who makes Falwell and Robertson look like Mr. Rogers in comparison. But, I mean, it's very interesting, this whole thing trying to, like, go back to the Mabe Russell days and you know, some people you have to not maybe just focus on whether they're disinformation agents or provocateurs, but, you know, sift the wheat from the, you know, the dunghill. But I did want to ask, since you do play music from time to time, I just finally, you know, K-Pig has played this a lot. I'm sure maybe even you've played it. I just missed it. But the parody song to the tune of Tony Orlando and Don's Tie Yellow Ribbon, Stick Magnetic Ribbons on Your SUV. I found the website, and I finally saw the video to it, and it's the Asylum Street Spankers. And I swear to God, this video is brilliant. It makes it, these guys are like Oingo Boingo meets Squirrel Nut Zippers on the way to the Mothers of Invention's house with Fireside Theater driving the bus. It's just absolutely brilliant. And the barbershop opening where they say these words that are seemingly profane, I don't know if you can do the opening, and then they finish the sentence.
Uh-huh.
It's just absolutely brilliant. But
Now, Patrick, I have an assignment for you. Since you're all wired up and back online, would you email me, peter@peterbcollins.com, with that information, and I'll track down the song?
Yeah, and now you may have to edit some of the words, but it's just absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
And I encourage everybody to see the video because it's hilarious.
Got it. Thanks for your call today.
Yep.
Thanks for connecting up with us. I appreciate that. 888-5 Peter B is our toll free number. I understand Scott from Carmel is a first time caller. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Well, good to have you calling. What's on your mind?
impeachment, and again, I'm with the choir apparently, but I think the Democrats have to move on impeachment. I feel that right now, people like myself are left with that sickening feeling that if they don't, we've lost our government and our representation and any quest for truth and what we supposedly stand for.
Well, Scott, I firmly agree with that, and this is not just, you know, choir warm-ups here. These are some of the most important issues of my lifetime. When you talk about the torture policy, you talk about the surveillance policies, you talk about the rollback of our rights under the Patriot Act, you talk about the way the this government has squandered our money while lavishing tax cuts on the most wealthy members of our society. And not every one of those qualifies as an impeachable offense, but taken as a whole, this is a colossal failure that needs to be recognized. We can't just give them a pass and hope that, you know, it's in the best interest of the Democrats to avoid the what is obviously a distraction and, you know, something that cannot be fully controlled, the impeachment process. But again, I feel it's their duty to hold this administration accountable, and that the political interests of the Democratic Party pale in comparison to the significance of this process to preserving and protecting what's left of this constitutional democracy.
Absolutely. I think that the 20th century showed us, has given us examples, and we can make comparisons to the way our government's being run, to horrible things that happened over the last 100 years. But I think we also have examples over the last 100 years of the power of revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I'm not condoning or saying a violent revolution is going to happen, but I think a revolution of thought is occurring already.
I agree. Scott, I'm late for a break, but I thank you for calling. And we're going to take more calls in the Free Speech Zone. There's one line open right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, the pro-impeachment guy, Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
the healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at traffic and give you the very latest information. All right, so we're going to talk about San Martin. San Martin, it's Sycamore Avenue, Church Avenue. It's a two-vehicle fender bender. It is off to the right-hand shoulder. We also are going to tell you about Salinas, Alisal at Hartnell. We have a crash. It's on the right shoulder, two vehicles involved. CHP is there. In fact, they're taking the report right now as we speak. Other than that, no major problems on Highway 17. No accidents, no stalls. Southbound 1 at Morrissey, the on and off ramps closed 24 hours a day for road work. And, of course, we're going to tell you that Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emmeline, the off ramp closed 24 hours a day for road work scheduled through December 31st. This report brought to you by Charles Schwab. Big account, small count, they all count. Feel valued no matter how you're worth. Talk to Charles Schwab, 1-800-4-SCHWAB.
Springtime for liberals, and they trash a lot of great songs from the history of rock and roll. We're taking your calls in the free speech zone here today on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open. I got one open right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you're welcome to comment on the impeachment question. We also had a powerful hour in the first hour today with Dr. David Ray Griffin. His newest book about 9/11 is called Debunking, 9/11 Debunking. And I learned a lot from the new book. I recommend it to you if this is an issue that you care a lot about. So if you want to comment on that, you're welcome to do so. We go to Daniel in Arcata. Thanks for holding. You're next, Daniel. Did you make it, Daniel? I guess he didn't. I understand.
Hello.
Daniel, hello.
No, this is Laird.
Okay, Laird, I just picked up, I got the wrong information. Laird, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I don't believe it. I got my hopes up once before with John Conyers when they stuck him in that broom closet in the basement of the Capitol building.
Right.
And wound up with egg on my face over that because the press didn't cover it. And most people thought that I was kidding. And now we're doing it again. And as much as I'd like to see it happen, I think I can speak for most of the people that have called that I've heard, you know, that we just don't believe it's happening.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is you're a skeptic of the Democrats. You don't think they'll really follow through.
Have not been impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a guy on a while back, the day that the Supreme Court did the abortion thing, you mm-hmm. had a doctor on. And he made a statement about, is it worth it, about fighting for this abortion procedure, because it was only like 15,000 people or 1,500 a year.
Yeah, it's about 1,500. It's closer to 2,000 max.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first of all, what he's telling me is that this is a last resort type procedure,
mm-hmm.
okay, which makes it very important. But more important than that, he's a doctor. He's somebody who knows. And he's saying it's not worth it. It's not worth putting your voice up. And I hear things like that, and I just wonder, you know, am I the kooky one? Am I really a troublemaker?
Well, I don't know you well enough to answer that.
Right. Well, I am, but that's another story.
Well, I appreciate your comment today, Laird. Thanks a lot for checking in. And I think it underscores that progressives need to keep a fire under Democrats. And you need to let your delegates know who are attending the Democratic State Convention in San Diego this weekend that you support the impeachment resolution. You want them to support it. And you want them to make that very clear to Speaker Pelosi, who will be in attendance there. Dennis in King City's next. Hey, Dennis, how are you?
Good, Peter. Listen, I agree with you 1,000%, and you're not crazy.
Oh, thanks. That's a relief.
Listen, they need to have this on their resume, Cheney and Bush. Let's go after Cheney, no question. And they need it on their tombstone, because this will hurt them to think that they were impeached, and we have to do it.
Now, I got to go real quick, so let me just tell you where Reed screwed up in his talk.
Mm-hmm.
What he should have said is, we won the war, but we lost the occupation.
I agree.
It should have been just, you know, that's the way it should have been put.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he wouldn't have been taking this heat, even though I think he's right.
Yeah. Okay, very good. I'll let you go. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate it. That's Dennis in King City. Katrina Real, our producer, has just checked in Vermont, and the Metro editor at the Burlington Free Press has confirmed that the lower house voted down the Senate resolution supporting impeachment 87-60, and the majority of that house are Democrats. This does not bode well, friends, and Laird underscores the point you just made, I am sorry to say. Now to Harvey in Eureka. Harvey, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, I heard your earlier caller, and I sometimes chastise myself for not being enough of a troublemaker. So anyway, I've been thinking about this Dennis Kucinich announcement, and I didn't hear it for a long time on the mainstream news, and then finally somebody came out and said, "Well, he's just trying to bolster his numbers in the polls. It's just a campaign trick, you know." So that's what they said. And
well, let's put it into context, okay? And let's say, in the most uncharitable interpretation, that Dennis Kucinich did this purely to try to advance his presidential campaign. All right?
Okay.
This is a service to the nation that may benefit Mr. Kucinich. Let's take a look at all of the things that Bush has done for political reasons, dividing the American people while calling himself the uniter. The list goes on and on. And if people want to talk about politicizing issues and trying to take advantage of issues for political gain, we've got to start with the Bush administration, and it would take us weeks to enumerate it all. Thanks for your call, Harvey. More next in the Free Speech Zone. I've got a line available for you at 888-5-PETER-B. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security, investment, white picket fences. Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. The switchboard is full, and I'm glad to hear your comments. We'll get to all your calls here in just a moment, 33 minutes after the hour. And when we clear a line, you can dial in and share your thoughts at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And our estimable producer, Katrina Rill, has been on the phone in between taking all your calls, checking on the progress of this resolution in Vermont, calling for impeachment of the president and vice president. It passed their Senate last week, but it stalled in the House today and was voted down, and that House is held by a majority of Democrats, Katrina.
Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers, but it's 80-something, 50-something to 6-something. I think the 6 are the progressives, mm-hmm. So it's predominantly Democrat.
Yeah.
And I called about 10 members at home mm-hmm. and got a hold of Kenneth Atkins, who's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes, we sure voted, and we voted it down, and I'm really upset we even had to vote about it, you know, vote on this. He said, this is not why we came to the House. We came here to fix health care and labor issues. They don't care in Washington, D.C., what we here in Vermont think.
Au contraire, Kenneth. Au contraire. I think that the voices in the hinterlands, these mm-hmm. grassroots voices from Arcata, Santa Cruz, Nyack, New York, Rocky Anderson, from the heart of Mormon country in Salt Lake City, and the voices of people in Vermont, I think they do make a difference, and I'm sorry that legislator doesn't see it my way.
Yeah, he clearly underestimated his own power.
Now, I do think that there are some local governments, for example, the Berkeley City Council, sometimes will weigh in on international issues. And I can understand that people look at that and say, come on, you know, these are city council people. What are they doing advising on international affairs? But this is clearly an issue that matters to every American, and every American has a right to have their view represented at every level of government.
Especially an elected official.
Yeah. I think he's off base.
I was really saddened by it. I asked him if he would talk to us on the air, but he said nope. But he told me all of the stuff off the air.
Yeah. What if I was willing to talk about health care and education?
I'll call him back.
Okay. Thank you, Katrina. We found Daniel over here on line 5. Daniel, sorry you were languishing there. You're on the air now.
All right. Thanks, Peter.
You bet.
I wanted to talk about the testimony regarding Pat Tillman's death and the circumstances thereafter.
Sure.
And I'd like to start prefacing my comments by saying that I was in 3rd Ranger Battalion for a couple of years. I'm very familiar with the system. I was the battalion legal NCO, and we had, during the time that I was there, we lost a soldier from a homicide. So I'm familiar with the report that has to be done when a soldier dies.
Right.
And it has to go through the regimental commander to USASOC. The 75th Regiment reports directly to USASOC, the United States Special Operations Command, the United States Army Special Operations Command, and they report directly to SOCOM. Now, yesterday, Specialist Brian O'Neill, the last Ranger to see Pat Tillman alive,
right,
testified that his battalion commander, the lieutenant colonel, gave him the order not to speak about Tillman's death being a fratricide.
That is correct.
I do not believe for one minute that that order came from the battalion commander, because I can't see. The only reason you would cover up Tillman's death being a fratricide, other than what Mary Tillman has said, the government using it as propaganda, is to protect the man who shot Tillman. And I don't believe that a light colonel or a full bird would put his career on the line to cover up a specialist. I think that order had to come from at least the SOCOM level, if not directly from DOD.
Yeah. Well, you may be familiar with this expression, but it was described that Rumsfeld ran the Pentagon with a screwdriver that was 9,000 miles long to suggest that he would tinker with the tuning of an engine in the field. And I can't tell you at what level those decisions were made. I appreciate your input because you are much closer to the context than I ever have been. But I understand what you're saying, and I have to share your suspicions.
Yes, I wanted to go on about Pelosi and why I don't think...
Well, before you go to that, I just wanted to make one quick comment that yesterday we focused on Kevin Tillman, but I want to acknowledge that Jessica Lynch made very courageous testimony, you know, tried to discard the mantle that was thrust upon her as a war hero, and decried, as the Tillman family did, the appropriation of her name and image and its connection to a false story that was concocted simply for political and rhetorical reasons, not because it had anything to do with her. And I appreciate her courage, along with the Tillmans, in addressing those issues. Go ahead on Pelosi.
Well, just addressing what you just said there. Yes, sir. That, to me, shows more the spirit of what honor and military tradition are supposed to be about, telling the truth about what actually happened, rather than romanticizing war, which is an ugly thing in the first place.
Indeed, yeah.
Going on with Speaker Pelosi, I think that there needs to be a larger swell from the American people to push for impeachment. I don't think that Pelosi is going to try to strong-arm the president and vice president out of the White House to have the political backlash for 08. I think right now she's considering the last bit of time for this president's term as opposed to what could be another 4 or 8 years because of a backlash.
Well, but here's my request to Speaker Pelosi. Let John Conyers have his head. Let him conduct the investigations. Let him, you know, subpoena people, subpoena records and information. And let the process go forward. She need not interfere with it. She doesn't have to be a champion of it. She can say that I will watch and wait and let the process, you know, take its own course. But she should not in any way block this. If she does, I think it's a real negative mark on her record, and it undermines my confidence in her as a Democratic leader.
I think that she should apply the same ideas right now to Kucinich's articles of impeachment with Cheney. I think we need to allow it to start to begin.
I agree. Yeah.
Let's move forward.
Daniel, I got a bunch of callers I want to jump, but thank you for checking in. I appreciate your informed comments.
All right, thank you.
All right, David in Santa Cruz, you're next. Welcome.
Hi, Peter. David here. I just wanted to make a comment about Senator Reid's remarks about the war being lost and the kind of blowback that's happened as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, actually, from all accounts that I've read from military people, militarily, the war is lost. I mean, we've got 70 or 80% of the people here in Iraq who currently support attacks on our troops. We have no real base of support there, as was witnessed by the recent mass demonstrations against our presence there militarily in Iraq.
And not only that, Talifer, which was supposed to be the town that was the model for handoff to the Iraqis, has had brutal problems over the last few weeks, partly because we redeployed people to Baghdad. And we had that brazen attack in the Green Zone right there in the cafeteria of the parliament. So these are just symptoms of the much larger issue, and you're correct. We cannot sustain this occupation. The policy is a complete failure, and the only criticism I have for Harry Reid is that his comments can be used against him, because by saying the war is lost without contextualizing or qualifying it, he made himself a ripe target for the jingoists of the right. And they're jingoing up all over him, including Tom DeLay, who doesn't have the moral authority to lecture a cockroach. And here he is saying that Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi are edging up to treason.
Well, agreed, but why not make this this whole debate about whether the war in Iraq is lost or not an issue? Because the proponents of the war are moving forward based on a premise that our continued military presence in Iraq is going to achieve a positive result. Now, if we stand by Senator Reid and say, no, we're not going to retract that, it isn't a very pretty thing to hear, but use the military and our own CIA national intelligence estimates to as evidence, along with all these other things that you've mentioned in terms of attacks and death rates and the massive exodus that's occurred now, with apparently now about 2 million refugees, Peter, have left that country.
Well, it's over 3 million. There are 1.5 million displaced inside the country, and well over 1.5 million who have left and are camped out mostly in Jordan and other neighboring countries.
So why not make this debate about whether or not the war is lost? And again, you know, I think there's enough factual information from national intelligence estimate from our own military to make a case for that. And if that case is put out there strongly enough, I can't see any reason why somebody would want to continue supporting the war.
Well, ideally, I agree with you. We live in a jaundiced time where the right wing has control of the media and communications apparatus, and they use it in a very, very cruel way. And that's the only reason why I'm thinking defensively. And I don't dispute what Harry Reid said, and I understand your argument to build the case and give him political cover. The other side of that is that there are a lot of cowards in the Democratic Party who will not come to his rescue, as Mitch McConnell and Tom DeLay and Senator Inhofe lay out these Republican talking points in a very virulent way. Thank you, David. Now to Greta in Seaside. Thanks for your call, Greta.
Hello. In regards to the previous topic, I only heard part of it, but I wondered how the news from last week that the French had probably notified the CIA that Osama bin Laden was planning to hijack at least two airplanes, when it would work into the conspiracy theory.
Well, let me just comment on that, Greta. The French report has to be blended in or added to The various reports, there was a previous count of some 54 different messages that were sent to the U.S. government, some originating in Israeli intelligence, some in Russian intelligence, that indicated the same basic message that the French shared with us and that we learned about recently. So in some ways, unfortunately, it's not news because so many of the other warnings were heard and ignored.
So then I actually think that that's, you know, something that needs to be discussed. And if that was discussed more, then I think that we'd be on the way to building more of a case for impeachment. Okay. That's one. Then,
okay.
I know, that's my belief, is when people really understood that they had these warnings, and if we did, you know, made some inquiries about this, more inquiries. Well, here it is. Do we absolutely trust what the French are saying? No. Make it so that it can be verified, you know.
Well, Greta, I would say, you know, I spent an hour with David Ray Griffin today talking about his new book about 9/11 and the lies we've been told, and I don't disagree with you. I'd love to have the French intelligence and these other reports laid out, but I think we need a complete top-to-bottom investigation of what happened on 9/11, and when that is all revealed and unraveled, we would have a very different picture of this Bush administration and the Republican Party in particular, and I think that that would offer great benefit to the nation and some probably political payoffs to the Democrats as well. Thanks a lot for your call today. I know you had more to say, but I'm out of time and I can't stop. Got to go to a break here. Thank you, Greta. More calls coming up next here in the Free Speech Zone. 47 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
And a very pleasant good evening to everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest. And Highway 17, let's check that roadway because it's been pretty slow all evening long. I can tell you that it still appears no major accidents or crashes to tell you about at this point, so that's good. We do have a problem being reported in Monterey. Now, this would be on Highway 1 southbound. No, excuse me, Highway 68 at Highway 1
It's a fender bender on the right shoulder, two vehicles, and a CHP is actually already there. Santa Cruz, Highway 1 southbound, the Morrissey Boulevard and off-ramps closed 24 hours a day for road work through, it looks like, the 1st of May. Other than that, no other major stalls or accidents. Tell you about King City, northbound 101 between Jolen Road and Hobson, right lane closed for maintenance work from 8:30 to 2:30. That's through the 27th. The support brought to you by Charles Schwab.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. If you want to email me, my personal address is peter@peterbcollins.com. If you'd like to suggest topics or guests for this program, send it to katrina@peterbcollins.com. I want to remind you to watch public television tonight. Bill Moyers has a 90-minute special called Buying the War, 9 p.m. on San Francisco's KQED. Check your local listings, please. Billy Sunshine joins us. Hey, Billy, how you doing?
Humble host.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, it's arrogant caller.
Good. nice contrast.
With you, so I'm going to disagree because it's more fun.
Oh, please.
You mentioned the Rosie story like it's not important, and you'd be wrong about that.
Well, the one thing I'll say about Rosie that ties in with our earlier discussion is that she's been courageous recently in broaching the issues of 9/11.
Exactly. And one of the last things Tom DeLay, before he started accusing everybody of treason, which I love, by the way, was that Rosie was next after Imus went out.
Uh-huh.
All right, we got to get Rosie now.
I see.
And you realize that, you know, once they get Rosie, we get to have Savage, we get him, and then next is you or me.
Well, and they're going after JV and Elvis, these kind of useless shock jocks who use a routine that's older than dirt. You know, they called a Chinese restaurant and made fun of the accent.
Yeah.
And I don't honestly think that's very important. I do agree that the issues of Michael Savage and Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, the damage they do to the nation on a daily basis is much more than Rosie O'Donnell could ever dream of.
Exactly. And she's like the only voice that was way on the left that gets into the regular media, being on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Democrats can't do this for us, like they should, as you point out, it's their responsibility to do so. Well, should we look to the Greens? I mean, you know, really, they got to. We what we have to do, for example, is pressure them in every place.
Mm-hmm.
Not there's no place where they shouldn't hear about impeachment. I write impeach Bush on every envelope I have that goes out.
Oh, good.
Just to put it out there. So we, you know, just paper the world with this pressure.
Just one more thing on my Rosie remark. What really drove it was yesterday my TiVo screwed up, and instead of recording the PBS NewsHour, I got Scarborough Country.
Oh,
so
see, I
zipped through it, hoping that Scarborough, who is now against the war, which is a revelation, I hoped that at some point he would do something, a story about Kucinich. And instead, they spent 8 minutes about with a video of some speech that Rosie gave to a group that wasn't even on television, where she dropped the F-bomb in front of Rupert Murdoch, whose mug was showed 6 times but never identified because it was on MSNBC. Anyway, I just quibble with their priorities, that they're jamming a story like that that's totally irrelevant when, you know, to me, the most important day of the story, story of the day yesterday was not covered, and it was not an accident.
The reason they got rid of Rosie was when she made the comment that extremist Christians are as dangerous as Islamofascists. It made Scarborough crazy, and he swore he was going to get rid of them. Rid of her, and you know what? They managed to do that. It was her not supporting Christian remark that really got her going.
Yeah. And he is interesting because he spent 10 minutes with Bill Maher discussing religion or the lack thereof yesterday. And that was, you know, mildly entertaining, but again, hardly relevant to the issues of the day. Thank you very much, Billy. Now to Joe, Brookings, Oregon. Thanks for calling, Joe. You're on the air.
Yes, well, Donald Trump and Rosie O'Donnell need to stop this silly feud, and they need to unite to fight against the real evil of George Bush and Barbara Walters.
Well, why don't we just send them over to Iraq? Come on, Rosie could solve that problem in a week or two.
No, that's the strange thing about Rosie O'Donnell. Donald Trump, you could have a contest between the two of them to see who hates George Bush even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anywho, of course, people should support Dennis Kucinich in his effort to impeach Dick Cheney. Now there's no excuse anymore. These people say, "Oh, you can't impeach Bush. You know, you'd wind up with Dick Cheney." Well, so we start off with Dick Cheney first. So there's no excuse anymore. But I'll tell you, about 90-95% of these Democrats are still going to be too gutless to back up Dennis Kucinich on this thing to impeach Cheney, and that's absolutely pathetic.
I'm afraid you're right. Wish you were wrong. Thank you, Joe. Now to Jake and Arcata. Hey, Jake, you're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. You know, Rosie O'Donnell would not be the first woman that Joe Scarborough got rid of. You know what I mean? Remember his intern problem? It's something that didn't get a lot of press, but much like Gary Condit, Joe Scarborough had an intern of his show up dead, and then that's when he decided to resign from Congress as a Republican from Florida. Those Republican congressmen from Florida have some pretty strange scandals.
You know, I had not recalled that. Thanks for refreshing my memory.
Yeah, Scarborough's got a dead intern on his plate.
Well, that's what qualifies Tom DeLay then for extra innings as a TV commentator.
I'm sorry, isn't Tom DeLay supposed to be in prison? What the hell is he doing on TV? I don't get it. Anyways, hey, going back to David Ray Griffin, thank you for having him on. I mean, everybody who gets a chance, please read some of his work. The New Pearl Harbor is his first book. It's a great, great work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions,
yep,
is outstanding as well. And I'd just like to remind everybody who doesn't know yet, you know, speaking of Bill O'Reilly and these people going after Rosie O'Donnell because she has the you know, the courage to actually point out, gee, World Trade Center 7 came down in controlled demolition. In fact, the lease owner, you know, Larry Silverstein himself, on Bill Moyers on PBS, admitted that they used explosives, demolition. He said they pulled the building, which in the industry terms is controlled demolition.
Right.
Everybody who has not seen Loose Change yet, please go see it, loosechange911.com. You can watch it online for free, but it's coming to the theaters. If people want to do something for the 9/11 Truth Movement, here's what they can do. Call your local theaters and ask them, when are they going to show Loose Change? The Dallas Mavericks basketball team owner, Mark Cuban, has put up the funding so this can be distributed around the country, and Charlie Sheen is going to do the narration on the final cut of Loose Change. So, you know, it's going to be up on the big screen for a lot of people who have not seen the images of 9/11, finally to see them. You know, this is the whole point. The American media has blacked out certain things that were shown on that morning of 9/11. They were shown by the media that morning and never shown again in America.
That's right.
People outside of America have seen the images. They have seen the slow-motion shots of the towers coming down that clearly show explosions. They have seen the evidence at the Pentagon where the damage clearly is not the result of a plane crash. It looks much more like a missile strike. And then, of course, you have Flight 93, which supposedly crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But when you see the crash site in Shanksville, there is no plane wreckage. There is no crater. And why the Bush administration continues to hide the videos that they say the Pentagon has of Flight 77 supposedly hitting the Pentagon? Why is it that, you know, 5-6 years later, the Pentagon can't release the videos of the plane hitting the Pentagon? You know why? Because the plane never hit the Pentagon, Peter.
Jake, thank you very much. You're exceptionally well-informed, but you got to get David Ray Griffin's new book and add it to your knowledge, okay?
Thanks
for checking in. Wish I had time for the rest of your calls. Thanks for calling today. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same station. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill.
Pour me another tequila, Sheila.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up, all you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Tom Hartman.
Kurt Vonnegut passed away at the age of 84. In 2003, in an interview with In These Times, he said, "I myself feel that our country, for whose constitution I fought in a just war, might as well have been invaded by Martians and body snatchers." He's speaking to the Bush administration. He says, "Sometimes I wish it had been."
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
It's been taken over by the sleaziest, low-comedy, Keystone Cop-style coup d'etat imaginable. Kurt Vonnegut.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon, on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Tom Foldy on Capitol Hill, where the U.S. House is about to vote on a bill that would put strings on the conduct of the Iraq War. Strings House Speaker Nancy Pelosi believes are long overdue.
It winds down the war by providing for the responsible redeployment of our combat forces based on benchmarks endorsed by the Iraqi government and by President Bush. They're his own benchmarks.
Maybe so, but Mr. Bush has made it clear this bill, if it passes here and then in the Senate, stands no chance of becoming law. And he's backed in that by House Republican leader John Boehner.
When will we stand up to radical Islam that's spreading all over the world, endangering our allies and endangering our citizens? When will we stand up and fight?
The House vote to put a deadline on U.S. military involvement in Iraq about to get underway. I'm Tom Foti, live on Capitol Hill. With more news, here's Cammie McCormick.
A new U.N. report accuses the Iraqi government of withholding civilian casualty numbers to avoid making the situation appear grim. The report says the humanitarian crisis in Iraq is worsening. Pamela Falk is a CBS News foreign affairs analyst.
It is likely that the U.S. Congress will point to this report as evidence that the Iraqi government is not being transparent about civilian casualties and sectarian violence in Iraq, as well as the fact that the coalition troop surge is not working as well as the administration has represented.
Senator John McCain formally announced today he's running for president. He's been lagging in the polls. Here's CBSNews.com political editor Vaughn Ververs.
His fundraising has been lackadaisical compared to the rest of the field, which was a big surprise and a big setback for him. And to top it all off, really what's drug him down over the last 6 to 8 months is his closest association with the war in Iraq, and that has been an albatross around his neck.
McCain, who is 70, said he's not the youngest candidate, but he is the most experienced. California may sue the EPA to put tougher restrictions on greenhouse gas emissions. Mike Pulsifer of KCBS reports Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has mailed a letter demanding an exemption from the Federal Clean Air Act.
Schwarzenegger says the warning is directed at U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Stephen Johnson.
To let them know that the federal government is working too slow to get us the waiver so that we can implement our laws.
California wants a waiver to enact the state's tougher emissions requirements.